God! Yeah. You're a madman!
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
You telling me to shut up?
I'm telling you to shut up. I will tell your recorder so that you don't forget. Hello, this is Chuck to remind Bill to shut up. You know, this used to be such a quiet place before you got here. You talk too much. Edible paper feeding mayonnaise to tuna fish. I will give you a quarter if you just stop talking. Thank you.
Thought we were friends. I yelled at
Bill
you.
To shut.
I confide in you my whole life. I tell you my deepest, most intimate stuff. You share anything with me? Gave you $100.
I didn't ask for it.
That's what made it such a beautiful gesture on my part. Never mind, forget it. We'll work together every night like strangers. That's fine with me.
Welcome. I am constantly asked, Kleinman, when did you discover you were magic? Have you ever used your powers for good? Like making cancer patients or nuclear warheads disappear? One man even asked me, can you make my masculinity disappear? But I am here to entertain you. Not your vile, curious fantasies. I will now make my assistant float. I will defeat gravity. I will be the master of Isaac Newton. Now, I can make this filthy woman fall under my dominion. Oh, arise, yes.
Look, asshole.
Eat shit. Oh, oh, Laurel. Oh, you're a quadriplegic.
Don't worry, everybody. She's probably only paraplegic.
Everybody can succeed. All you need is to believe. Be honest.
There you go.
Fair is a dollar and a half.
What?
Fair went up to a dollar and a half as of midnight.
You're kidding. I've got 97 cents.
No.
It's raining like mad out there.
No.
Would you just give me a break? I really just want to go home.
I'm sorry. I can't do that. I could lose my job.
Well, who would know exactly?
I could go to a party. Get drunk, talk to someone, who knows?
Strong together, united forever, they're the best of friends. But when trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Now he's their leader, and he loves to party down. Rush
shark friends to the animals.
Yeah, when he's not clowning around.
Why nutty?
Beat up some thugs. Say no to drugs. Be in bed by 10. But if trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen. Strong together, united forever. Come and meet your friends. Have no fear. Time's up, time's here for the Watchmen.
Woohoo!
Yes! Yes! Hey, everyone! It's Friday! Welcome to the show! Hey, it's Friday. Nowhere in Mulberry, that stuffy talk show, where we give our opinions on movies and stuff. We got great opinions. Listen to what we have to say. What the hell am I doing? Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Jason, the J-Strom, whatever you want to call me. You know, I've been reading a lot on, like, when you have your own show and stuff, and it's a brand, basically. This is our business, so if this is our brand, I should put my name on it, right? I should tell everyone my name, you know? My name's Jason, not just the J-Strom, you know? So, yeah, there's our show. Hey, we have Steven, the pop culture zealot here. How's it going, Steven?
I'm good.
I should have eaten some fish to focus my brain a little.
Oh, okay. That's real work. Why fish?
Because I'm all over the place, you know. Some omega-3, something like that. But, hey, Steven, how's it going?
It's good.
I've been trying to help you this week do entertainment center type stuff, but, I've helped a little, right?
Well, yeah, we picked out the wrong home theater first, and
I wanted to say this: you signed on to Xbox Live,
yes.
So you are PCZ Streeter on there,
correct?
So people add Steven to your friend list, and
We'll put it on the forum somewhere.
How often will they get to play Xbox with you?
Saturday, Sunday, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to work that in. You know, Steven has never played Left 4 Dead yet, right?
Nope.
So we got to play that. You got to play some.
I played some GTA last night.
How did you like that?
It was incredible. You guys were telling about it.
Living, breathing city.
Yeah.
And plus, you just got a brand new 52-inch HDTV.
Ah,
that's a
nice.
Perfect thing to just first time you ever play your Xbox on a new big HDTV. So that's sweet.
And papers blowing all around the city.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
people
awesome.
People bump into you wanting to start fights for
yeah,
no reason.
That's great. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
You suck, asshole.
Yeah, I threw some Kleinman in the intro. I love that magician. Did you go to the Perestroika Club yet, Steven?
No, I went to... they showed a little cut scene at the beginning when you start to date Michelle.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it showed, like, different things you can do. And the first thing was going to the pier to go bowling.
Right. Did you do that? Or did
yeah,
you just watch little videos? Or
no, I went to the bowling. Okay. I had my date. With her,
yeah. Michelle seems pretty nice.
Isn't that so awkward that you actually like date people?
I think I get disappointed because you go in and it says go to so and so. So you go and then it says now take her home. It's like where's the date part? Where's the awkward conversation?
And yeah.
And
the awkward conversation's like right when she first gets in the car. So where's you from?
And then, yeah. I like
and then
she
it
says,
just stops talking after about four or five sentences, and it's just, yeah. Then you just drive on.
I love when she says, "Where did you get those pants?" You know, like if you show something bad. But I also love like if I'm taking forever to get there, she goes, "I'm bored. I want to go home."
Well, I think I was kind of. Driving pretty fast and recklessly. Oh my God! Yeah. You're a madman!
I'll drive crazy with Roman in the car and be like, you're an animal! What are you doing?
You know, the funniest thing I did on a date is if you shoot all the pigeons in the game, it's an achievement, right? So we were on a date and walking to the bar and I saw a pigeon. I was like, sweet! Go blam! She's like, this is bullshit! I'm finding my own way home. It's like, come on, this is a great date. What are you talking about? Where are you going, lady?
Where else
you
going to go to on a date?
Come by, unless you look up where they all are.
Yeah, if I see a pigeon, I'm shooting it. Come on. Those things, I don't know if I'm going to remember where it is.
That's hilarious.
But welcome to the show, everyone. Nowhere Mulberry, home of film, television, and pop culture. Home. I don't know what I'm talking about. We're home.
I have no home.
But this is an exciting weekend because this is Watchmen weekend. I'm dubbing it.
No, wait. It's Watchman.
Watchman. Yeah. Oh, Bill. This morning, the first thing I see, you know, the Today Show's on. I watch this every morning, like before I wake my daughter up for school. But this morning, Gene Shalit's reviewing Watchmen. I'm listening.
Oh, no.
How old is this guy? Seriously, 70s,
too old.
80s?
He's, yeah. He's at the point now where they just need to take him out back and put a bullet in the base of his skull.
I want to know who on this planet, before they go see a movie, is like, I got to see what Gene Shalit says about it first. Otherwise, I'm not seeing this
well,
film.
Well, other 80-year-olds.
Keep him on, for the same reason they keep Wilford, or not Wilford, but... Willard Scott.
Oh, Willard Scott. I thought you were talking about a different...
They keep him on for the same reason, and it's to laugh at him, because he's an idiot.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. But I'm going to go ahead and do this. I was telling you about this, Stephen, how on the show we never tease, like tease ahead.
Yeah.
I just go ahead and tell you. We're going to tease ahead that Gene Shalit. We're going to have an excerpt from that review in a coming up in a few minutes.
Excellent.
So everybody's like, oh, shit, I was about to change the dial on my... imaginary
computer.
Radio.
you're now live radio.
Yes, you're now live desktop radio.
You wanted to switch over to Utah's morning news.
Yeah, that's the best one. That's always the top one, but also my favorite title is Jerk Off Radio. I just love that title for a show. Hey,
that's
welcome
some classy
to
stuff.
Jerk Off Radio. Hey, I'm a jerk off.
Hey, you're listening to Jerk Off Radio.
So, Steven is moving into his house, Bill. How much would you say you're spending on just... It seems like we're going to the store a lot, and you're like, okay, I'll get that or whatever. So
I mean, it's like,
we're looking for it was my fault. We bought a receiver that didn't do True HD and DTS Master Audio Bill. Mm-hmm. And see, what I was hoping for is, you know, it doesn't need to decode it. It just amplifies it, right?
The PS3 does all the decoding.
Yes.
You just send a PCM signal to the receiver, and it distributes it to the speakers.
Right. So
So we went to the Magnolia Theater.
Yeah, Steven has a PS3, so I know that's all we need. That's what mine does. And but we got the wrong one. It doesn't do audio. It just does video. So
you mean HDM input.
Yeah, HDMI. Okay. So we go up to, I was going to say.
Well, I grabbed the, we were looking at them, and I grabbed a Yamaha home theater in a box, and we neither one of us read it, that it said it was just an HDMI pass-through.
Well, you said it says HDMI pass-through, and I was like, yeah, that's good. That's cool.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. And I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking it meant send the signal. Yeah, it passes it through, and then it plays it.
Passes it like a kidney stone.
Yeah, but the funny part is we go to Best Buy and I'm making sure. I'm actually asking for help this time from the douchebags who work there. Like,
you know better than that.
And the guy's like, "Hey, could I show you a demo in the demo room?" And we're like, "Okay." And you know, they
just keep your pants on, buddy.
They've got the Definitive speakers in there and all that, and
he's playing the Denon 12.
Definitive.
The Denon.
Amp. He goes, Denon's the best you can get. That's what you need here. These, the only ones that'll play True HD are starting right here about $524. This, and then you move on up. This one is really nice. This Denon for $900 and something. It's like, dude, what the hell? And he's like, let me play you this little clip. This is pretty badass. And he puts on
the Blue Man Group
Blu-ray. And, you know, the Blue Man, they're always banging the shit out of PVC pipe or whatever. And
they're always blue?
You know, and there's paint and shit flying everywhere. And, you know, I'm supposed to be wild or whatever, but I'm just like, okay. And
I just went, which one propositioned a young boy?
So the guy is telling us why surround sound, if you're going to get, you know, home theater, surround sound, that's 60% of it right there. 40% is video. But it's just funny how the guy...
He's got the whole equation down.
Yeah.
I want to know why the guy assumed we didn't know jack shit going in there. I asked a simple question.
About HDMI,
just
non-decoding,
which one of these
just
do
amplifying.
You would think that I even asked that question meant I knew something, but...
Well, you know what? He saw his chance. He's like, man, I can show these guys what it is.
And he starts off with
where I come from.
You know, I don't make commission off this. I just want to show you guys this. It's like, whatever. But anyway, we got Steven on Xbox, Bill. So,
and we found an HDMI for under $500.
Right. So
receiver.
It was like $400, basically.
Yeah.
It's a good deal. And next thing is shopping for speakers, right?
Yes.
Some Definitives. I love those Mirage speakers that have
on Axiom Audio. Those are the ones I have. I love them.
The Axioms.
We were looking at those Polk Audio Towers.
Yeah, well, that Best Buy has Polk speakers, and they also. I was telling you, Bill. They're carrying like really expensive speakers now. The high end, like Mirage. The ones that have that weird grill on the front.
Oh, yeah. They have like that odd tweeter design and all that.
What is that called? Because it's like, see these speakers right here, Steven? Or it's just
it's like a weird mesh.
It's like a metal.
Oh, Martin Logan.
Yeah, the Martin Logan type design where it's just, I can't think of the term of those are, but those are really badass. And I wanted to hear the Blue Man Group on those speakers, but I didn't get to hear it.
You didn't get to go and design your own system.
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to do. The funniest thing the guy said, he goes, man, we're closing, man. I just cranked this shit in here. And I was really, I'd be like, that would be the only reason I'd work here. Like, okay, everyone's gone.
Kid Rock sounds awesome in here.
Yeah. Man, man, the clarity. Now, let's go ahead and check out a voicemail, and then we're going to get into...
It's so clear, you can almost smell the Jack Daniels on his breath.
Let's check out this voicemail, and it was actually specifically for Bill. So let's check it out.
Hello, this is Ralston. I'm calling for Mulberry Bill. I guess you're not there. Or maybe you're eating dinner. I wanted to talk about my favorite show, and you guys razz about it, but it's called Heroes. I was thinking that they should have a Peter Petrelli feature film because he is.
Should I hang up at that?
What makes that show? The Milo Ventimiglia.
Okay, next.
I was wondering what Mulberry Bill thought.
Is this guy quadriplegic? Has to breathe through one of them tubes?
Enjoy.
Yeah. He has a ventilator.
Wow! Thanks a lot, Ralston.
Hey, shit!
Whoa! Kleinman doesn't like you. Now, we have Andy waiting in the wings because he saw Watchmen. We have not, which really sucks. I know that sucks. We should have seen it.
I was trying to be the evil guy last night. Jason, you sure you can't stay out until midnight until you'll see the Watchmen?
I know. And then I tease you. He's like, dude, you would so falsely turn that because it would be up to like...
He wouldn't hang at all.
I was up till 4 o'clock this morning.
No, oh, really? If we were in the theater watching Watchmen, trust me, just plus I need
those
to catch a bunch of
theater seats.
But we didn't get to see it, but Andy did. He's going to tell us what he thought about it, but not before Gene Shalit does. And let's check that out in entertainment. Ah, yes, entertainment. We love entertainment. We have Andy on the line from Apocalypse Hollywood. How you doing, Andy?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Fantastic. Now, I'm excited that you got to see Watchmen, and we didn't, so you're going to tell us what you thought. But first, let's hear what Gene Shalit thought of it, okay? Is that cool with you guys?
Yes.
He's in touch with everything.
He's in touch with the younger generation.
Before I see films, I listen to what Gene has to say.
He was original PCZ Gene Shalit.
Yeah, that big bushy mustache of him. Let's check it out.
Superheroes and supernumeraries ricochet through comic book time and place. Will they land an audience? Book's passionate disciples will surely pack theaters early, but mainstream America will pack it in. Watchmen, the movie, is elaborately fabricated malarkey. And it's 2 hours and 41 minutes too long. And that's so long from the Critics Corner for today.
That's it?
There was more, but it was just more of him droning on like an old crazy
malarkey.
So he called it malarkey.
Did you notice he also called it he called it Watchman the movie.
Watchman the movie.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
That there Watchman.
Talking about film.
I couldn't figure out which one was the Watchman.
So what did you think, Andy?
His face kept changing. I was confused.
I couldn't. Why didn't he have a watch on?
Damn,
all of a sudden,
Gene
he's George Bush.
So, okay, Andy, tell us.
Well, first of all, I think that was Annabert calling in on the phone. That's what it had to be.
That's what it sounded like.
About as funny as Annabert is.
Poor Rolsted.
Hey, shit.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. All right. So I had not read the book up until, I'm not kidding you, I closed the last page of the graphic novel. And my friend showed up at the door, picking me up for us, and then for us to go. So it's like I read it up to the very last second, and because I wanted to read the book before I went, the lovely and handsome Mulberry Bill has been pushing it on me for so long, and I finally picked it up at his behest. And wow, what a stunning thing that graphic novel is. And so I went in ahead of time saying, I'm going to read this before I see this movie because I want, because the novel is this achievement that's been out there for, what, 25 years now, Bill, or something?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I want my first view to that as opposed to this brand new film. So did that, was blown away by the book, and then walked in and instantly got to jump into the movie. And you know what? I really, really liked it. Flat out. And, I had said on one of my posts somewhere, you know, Zack Snyder redeemed from 300. And I know y'all hate me because I didn't like 300. But, man, he really brought the juice here. I just from a blind action standpoint with no story elements whatsoever, just the action scenes, the fighting scenes they're just outstanding. So that's fantastic. But I think the hard part for me looking at it is, you have two perspectives. See, I went with a friend of mine who didn't know a single thing about The Watchmen. He knew nothing about
Watchman.
The Watchman. Yeah, he knew nothing about it. Didn't know who Rorschach was. Didn't know who anybody was. And right. So he, when we were done, he was like, "Well, I was a little confused. I didn't quite understand it." But he still walked away with, he enjoyed it. He just was a little confused. I think maybe, you know, he could borrow my graphic novel and get it.
Hell yeah, but, pass that around, you know?
Yeah, puff, puff, pass. And I could only look at it from my perspective at having read the book ahead of time. And to see these things actually come to life on the screen was absolutely fantastic. I mean, all your moments are in there. I mean, it really, like he apparently did with 300, he really wanted to be true to the comic. So you get all the origin stories as we're going through. You get Dr. Manhattan's story and everybody, and it's just, it's so full. And every little, there's so many little things that you're like, oh, I hope they do that. And then they did it, and you're like, oh, that's so badass that they did that. And all the stuff with the comedian is just, it's outstanding. Rorschach is just balls to the walls badass. I mean, I've never seen, in translation from a medium to a medium, a character that was almost so true to what I had envisioned him being from the graphic novel.
That's awesome.
You know, the scratchy voice, even when his mask was off. I mean, Jackie Earle Haley, it's so cool. It's like there's Kelly Leak up there, you know, being a badass. Did little he, Kelly Leak being such a badass.
Were you thinking, nailed it?
Oh, he nailed it. It's absolutely outstanding. His voice, his mannerisms, the stuff when he's being cross-examined in the psychiatric office with the guy, you know, and he's holding
oh,
up
yeah.
the
I didn't even think about
dots and
that.
Stuff.
You know, I thought I was hoping. You know, keep seeing is like the money shots in the trailer, you know, and I forget
oh,
about
yeah,
the little
you know,
detail.
The stuff on Mars with Dr. Manhattan and all that kind of stuff, you're seeing they're trying to get butts in seats. And let me tell you something. This is going to be a massive success. I can't imagine that people aren't going to respond to this, because even if you get nothing from it, it's just a flat out kick-ass action movie. You know what I mean? The fight scenes are just extremely rewind worthy. You know, I really needed a rewind button.
The visuals and, look incredible too. I mean, it's just a beautiful movie.
The editing,
you know?
It's just sharp.
From
but
the
more
trailers.
Than that, the thing that I think is going to be the tipping point on this thing is that if you have read the book, if you're satisfied enough with the translation, because the deal is that sure, there's a lot of stuff that gets left out. The black freighter, or is it, what is it?
Right.
The black, the,
no,
the whole pirate.
You got it right.
But, right. The whole comic is left had to be left out. Now, you see cameos of the newsstand guys and the kid reading the book and whatnot. So yeah. You get to see those guys as a kind of a tip of the hat, but you don't follow their whole storyline right. as they're, you know, witnessing everything. It really just follows the main watchman's guys.
Bummer,
you know
don't get,
I mean?
The main guys. Get to know the lesbian cab driver.
Yeah, exactly.
That their watchman.
Who likes Penthouse, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Zack Snyder's already said long-ass director's cut coming.
Well, see, and that's one thing that's been – that's a difficult thing is that normally I would piss all over that and say, ah, to hell with you. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
But it's just the visuals were so strong. And you know, and then but, having started to read the graphic novel, I'm like, there's no way. I have to get to this.
Right. And it's almost like you can't blame him for that. The movie would just be too long if he released it as long as it needs to be to tell the story, you know?
The biggest problem with this is what I've said on a previous show back in the old Hollywood Saloon days. Was canvas is that we need a bigger canvas for stories that are this massive.
Right.
You know, I mean, this thing needs to be about 6 hours long.
Hell, do a Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 type of deal, you know?
Yeah, yeah, well, I was about to say.
Why not do one now and one in December or something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and just give us something longer. Well, and that's just because Hollywood's chicken shit to put money into making something like that in case the first one fails. You know, they don't want to golden compass the thing.
Yeah, you never know. They probably had that idea, but it got shot down, you know?
With them doing the motion comic and getting that out the same week of the film, hopefully that'll make people want to go, hey, well, why don't we check out the motion comic and get the whole thing?
Right. Well, and the thing that's great is that both entities exist. I mean, the graphic novel and the film as it exists today. And eventually we'll get this Ultimate Edition. It's going to add a lot more into it. Obviously, that will be the best version for people who love the book.
Yeah.
But for now, this is pretty long. Now, you know, I don't know if this is a spoiler, and if it is, you can cut it out and podcast, but we're not doing the squid in this movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure most people know that by now.
Yeah. Most people know that there's no squid. I think that the new ending that they gave it was actually pretty smart and not a bad idea. So and they're bold on some other things as well that are in the comic that you would think Hollywood would chicken out on and not do it. So and I think the thing that I was most excited about is that this thing is a hard R. There was no attempt to PG-13 this thing out so 12-year-old kids could go see it.
Nice.
I mean, this thing has got sex and gore and oh my god, you see the killings, you know?
Yeah, like especially in the book, the comedian stuff is. He's not a nice guy.
No.
Oh, yeah. And he's played so well. I think the thing that impressed me the most is that the casting was so absolutely dead on perfect. I mean, when you look at Dan Dreeberg, you're like, oh, my God, that is exactly what he's like, you know, and just down to everybody. You know, the costume, I guess Silk Spectre's costume is a little more updated, extremely hot, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's the only one that's really just out and out different.
That's
but,
understandable, though. Cause
yeah, kinda... Laurie's costume in the graphic novel was more flowing, whereas it looks like this is kind of skin-tight latex kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, because it's now 2009.
And I can't even get into that kind of – I can't get into that kind of nitpicky type of shit, you know?
It's really silly. And there's some things that people who are purists will nitpick the hell out of. But, you know, I think you almost have to just let yourself realize, okay, this is a whole different medium. We're translating from one medium to another medium. Why not just let it, you know, it's like be excited that we got it and that it was so incredibly true to the thing. I mean, you know, we get the line, Bill, with the, you know, it's like you're not locked. I'm not locked up in here with you. You're locked up with me. You know, and it's like the theater just cracked, man. It's like everyone's like, woo, pumping the fence and stuff.
I'm going to say that this adaptation, what Zack Snyder's doing, I trust the guy wanting to be as faithful as possible. He doesn't want to change it. You know, I guarantee you that he labored over what he needed to change and couldn't sleep at night and stuff like that or whatever he needed to change. But the book will always exist on your bookshelf, and this movie will exist on its own, and it doesn't have to be like anger and hatred over the differences.
It's like, if you're that much of a nitpicker, you need to get a life. You need to be happy with what you've been given, because
you
what
need
you've
to
been
take
given
medication.
Is extremely faithful and extremely bad
for your Asperger's. You need to take medication for it.
Yeah, I think the thing that upsets me the most, I've heard this comment a couple times from different people, and I just don't understand it. Not wanting to read the book before they see the movie, I think by reading the book, you're doing yourself a service, because you've got the gist of it, and it helps you understand what you otherwise wouldn't. Because, I mean,
oh,
it
yeah.
gets pretty deep. When Dr. Manhattan goes off on his spiels about, you know, 10 minutes from now I'm doing this, 10 minutes ago
oh,
I was doing
no.
that.
And
you know,
they handled it so well, too. That's what's so amazing. It's much deeper, obviously, in the book. But they handled it pretty damn well in this thing.
Yeah, what did you think of that whole performance by Billy Crudup?
Oh, it's good. You know, it's interesting because I think they played him off. He's not necessarily, you know, like a great likable character.
Right.
It's just humans are becoming more and more insignificant to him.
Right.
Even as the movie goes along, you know, they're like gnats on his back or something. And so he kind of is detached from them most of the time. So it's really not a lot of performance. The thing that I was amazed with was that you see a lot of Dr. Manhattan in this thing. I mean, it's not like they were being saved. He didn't have pants on the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you see
you're
his,
like, oh, my God. You
yeah,
know?
I
but
saw
like,
in the posters that they have him in a banana hammock.
Yeah, they do a few times, but...
Well,
but
he isn't like that
show,
in the comic, remember?
Afraid to do that.
Remember?
Yeah, a couple times he is, yeah.
In the comic, there's a joke about how they kind of give him a hard time, so he has to start wearing, like, underwear.
Yeah.
So that's why he's
because
wearing
he
like
can make his penis as big as he wants to make it. he has full control over that.
So we get to see his amazing Technicolor blue penis.
Yes, exactly. So rejoice it for that. But yeah, and I think that's the deal, is that going at, for someone who had just read the novel and who loved it, was blown away by it, you're going to get the tip of the hat to everything. I mean, you get the scene on Mars with you know, with Laurel, and they're having the big conversation, but it's very much reduced, whereas it went on and on and on and was so, you know, it's pulled you in so deeply in the graphic novel. And so you have to just say, well, we got it and I get the point. They just, you know, they can't go as far with it, and for that you just have to say, well, I'm just glad that they did it. So
right.
and Bill, what you were saying, so enriched by having read the book first.
Yeah,
because I knew, I already knew the long version, you know. I figured that this thing has been around for so long and won awards and all that. Is it give credence to that thing? That's the landmark, not the film. The film's the new guy on the block.
Yeah, and the film
yeah,
exists
know?
Because of the people love that so much. You get
yeah. So why wouldn't you want to know that first?
Now I haven't seen the movie, just the trailer and stuff, but I get the idea that it seems like everyone who made this loves the book, right? Do you feel that?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine that not everyone that was involved, if they didn't love it, they would have loved it later, because it's so true. You know, it's so anti, you know, McRatner'd out. I mean, this is not like they just hired someone to go in there and say, hey, we got this property and people want to see it. Let's make a movie quick. You know,
right.
it's nothing like that.
It's the exact parallel opposite of the last X-Men movie, you know.
Exactly. It's not McMovied out in any way. It's, you know, they're trying to do something. Now, it's less of a philosophical film. I mean, I consider the book to be very philosophical, very deep and layered.
Yeah.
But to get through this thing in 2.5 hours, you know, I walk away saying, okay, this was a really kick-ass superhero action movie, but like not quite like one that I've ever seen before, you know? And so you have to kind of say, well, is it this deep thing with a massive statement, or is it more so that it's an action movie? And I think people are going to come away saying it's a great action movie, which is fine. And all those other elements are in there. I think the main thing is that I would hope that it would point people to the graphic novel. Like, okay, if I really like this, I'm going to go to the graphic novel now.
Yeah. I'm going to go read it.
Exactly.
Sweet. Unfortunately, you don't share the same views as Gene Shalit, though, Andy.
Yeah, damn. I found it not to be malarkey.
So you like the Watchman movie?
I like the Watchman, exactly.
Sweet. Are you going to go see it again?
you know, I might see it again. I really might. My son was like, "Good to go," and I'm like, "Hell no!"
We're talking,
you know,
hard
there's no
art
way,
here, kid.
Because, you know, he wants to see it. I'm like, "There's no way you're seeing this."
The first naked body for him to see, being Malene Ackerman, wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, no, she is extremely nice in this movie. No, it's not that. It's the violence. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, let's just say it's when the little short guy is trying to get into Rorschach's cell. Let's just say that.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great part. All right, yeah. Andy, thank you so much for calling and tell us what you thought. Obviously, we'll talk
gentlemen.
About it next week, but how many gunshots you give it, Andy? Oh.
Out of 5 gunshots, I give it 4.5 gunshots.
All right.
There you go.
So on Apocalypse Hollywood, you don't do stuff like that, do you?
No.
He does atom bombs. 4.5 atom bombs.
4.5 H-bombs, yeah, exactly.
You ought to do silencer shots.
Yeah. No, I do 4.5. I like to kill deers.
Yeah.
There
you
go.
Hey, yeah. All right, Andy. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right, gentlemen. See you later.
Have a good one.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Let's check out what's on our TVs. Our DVRs. Let's see, Skype, did you experience any problems during the phone call? Whenever somebody calls and hangs up, it always pops that shit up. All right, now we go from Watchmen to American Idol. That's right. I hate to do this. I don't know why we're doing it, but no. You know, it's,
I can't believe you're covering American Idol.
Well, it's only because that crazy bitch Tatiana, remember, she was the only entertaining thing about American Idol because she was a train wreck. Well, then she got kicked off the show. The show flatlined. All of a sudden, oh, we decided to give Tatiana another chance. And the best part about this is she's real emotional and crying and stuff. The audience is laughing because she's such a train wreck. It's hilarious. Just listen to the background laughter as she's trying to express herself and how happy she is.
We stayed up day and night with this decision. I'm telling you, we paced back and forth. That person's name is, we all selected, Tatiana.
Tatiana Tokoro! Tatiana will be singing tomorrow night.
She can't contain herself. She's just freaking out right now.
Tatiana.
Thanks.
What does it mean to be back?
On the show.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready to take this on? Do you accept the challenge?
More than anything in the whole world. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want this so much, and this means so much to me, and I worked so hard to be here, and I want to sing for you more than anyone
and
wants
you will
to do
tomorrow.
Anything in the whole world.
Tomorrow night
thank
you're doing
you so
it.
Much.
Congratulations. You can have a seat. Thank you, Tatiana. Have a seat on the couch.
Total train wreck, right? I love that people are like, what a dumbass. Okay.
I think she's already gone.
Yeah, I think she is, actually. But too bad. That was entertaining. Gave us 2 minutes of our show right there. That's what it was worth. Now, okay, Top Model's back with Tyra Banks. It's, I think, the 26th season of Top Model. Tyra Banks is insane. We all know that. But as she's doing some kind of weird shit here. I don't know what she's doing or what kind of writers they have here. But it's all worth it. Let me just tell you this. This torture we're going to go through, Steven, is all worth it. For the final comment that one of the contestants says about Tyra. Because, you know, they all love Tyra. Oh, she's such an inspiration and stuff. So let's check
this
out.
Funny.
I love a big boob.
Wow, it's like an action movie or something.
Oh, my God. She's
like
freaking out crying.
She's a possessed person. This is a possessed
person. A complete Barbie doll.
The goddess of fear.
I have been the goddess of fierce for 2,752.7 years. And I am tired. So I am looking for my successor. Where is she? I am looking for someone to light my chariot of fire.
Hey, hold.
I am looking for America's next top
amazing. She's an entity. She's a force. She's extraterrestrial. Oh, my God.
She's an extraterrestrial.
She is from another world, indeed.
She's extraterrestrial.
I was like, yes, you're right.
That's I love when stupid chicks say things that they have no idea what they mean.
She's an entity. She's an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, she is.
She's
an entity.
She's a freaking alien.
She's a Slayer from Crawl. Slayer. So
she's time for what
the bitch talking about?
She's extraterrestrial. Oh my God.
Shit.
All right, Celebrity Apprentice. Hey, and you know what I realized? I remember reading this a long time ago. Celebrity Apprentice. Every episode will be 2 hours long. I shit you not.
Oh,
wow.
So this was 2 hours.
A pain.
And it was all about making cupcakes.
I was wondering when it would end.
How many of these people are really celebrities? Because I didn't know who half of them were.
I think two.
There's some of them. There's an R&B singer guy that I had to look up online to see who he was.
I think he's a celebrity.
Who?
Brian McKnight.
Brian McKnight.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of him.
There's a lot of women that I have no idea who they are.
There's this gorgeous Playboy model named Brandy something that I was like, whoa.
Yeah, she seemed really smart, too.
Yeah, she does.
Joan Rivers, I was telling Bill, like, it's so easy to just focus on the face, but it's a tragedy, whatever she did to her face.
They used that line at the beginning of the show during one of her bits where she's like, I paid $150,000 for this face. And it's just like,
Wow, what a waste of money. Why didn't she grow old gracefully? Seriously, come on.
Come on, Phyllis Diller it.
Come on. Phyllis Diller's gorgeous. But it all came...
Especially her big fake hair.
But, I mean, what's wrong with looking like a grandma, you know? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, she's scary. Scary, scary,
she
scary.
Doesn't look like she's of this planet.
She's extraterrestrial.
Yeah. I believe that.
She does kind of look like, she's so far pulled back, she does look like that Bride of Wildenstein.
We were talking about, she looks like the mom in Brazil, Mona, from Mona, Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss?
What's that actress?
Catherine Hellman.
Catherine Hellman, yes.
Steven.
Because I asked Steven, I asked Bill, I go, what's her name again? He was like, Mona. I was like, yeah, Mona, hey.
That's what I remember. That's my generation, freaking Who's the Boss.
So would you say...
Yeah, I remember her from Soap.
The whole...
She was the... Yeah.
She was the wacky wife.
She's a great actress, great character actress.
She's the mom of the Billy Crystal gay character, I think.
Now, Celebrity Apprentice, this first episode was all about Dice Man. And this whole thing, I just made a little clip of Dice, and remember, what was that movie called, Making the Grade with Judd Nelson? He did a little Travolta thing in there, remember that?
Yeah.
And I just think he needs a lot of work on his Travolta now. He's out of practice, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and check this out.
I see disharmony on the men's team, and I've gotten really good at this stuff. Well, I may be
you
wrong.
Know what it is? I got to tell you what it is. I mean, a lot of us are up all night, like Rodman, myself. We used to come in there. There's no bagels. There's no butter. There's no, you know, so if you could just... I know this has nothing to do with the winning, but yet we got to have energy, and we come in there, and there's nothing to eat.
And whose fault is that?
It's your fault, because they're your people... You know what? I got to say something at this point.
So he must be the weekly.
No.
Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I don't believe in baking. I never did. And I had
like
almost invented a job
Jesus.
For myself. So I became almost
like
a
really
jester to keep everybody moving. But as far as the actual work, for me, it's natural to make people laugh. You know what I mean? I'm good like that, so I'm entertaining. Could you imagine being under a guy that turns into John Travolta for you? I can't believe how good this feels. Sylvester Stallone. Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more? You know what I mean? Hey, can you do that? You can't even do that. And you're Donnie Trump.
I love deadpan stare. One of the things that started going on in there,
one of the ideas I did have in there was, let's stick to a traditional cupcake.
Now, Andrew, you cut off Ivanka, but that's okay.
His whole life has been about cutting off women,
and that's okay. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, cut her off.
You got to stop with
that. We're never going to change you. Go ahead, tell me.
It's unbelievable.
Tell me.
You're unbelievable with this. One of the ideas I had as far as cupcakes, forget women,
Which are more important?
Women.
By far.
By far.
Except for tonight.
No, how many women
well, tonight,
is the worst?
I'm going to fight to keep my job.
Okay.
Because one of the ideas, I am good with ideas. I'm somebody that's branded myself. Something you did talk about, which sort of bothers me a little, is, and not to take away from Dennis's celebrity, but, you know, I am the only
Dennis
guy
Rodman.
Sitting here to sell out Madison Square Garden three times. I'm the only
right.
comic to sell out every arena in this country, you know, over and over again. And because I wasn't baking, I wanted to be used to the best of my ability, which is get on the air and promote today's, you know, charity event.
I've known you a long time, and you've been great, and you're really a talented guy. But in Dennis, I've seen tremendous fight tonight. Tremendous fight. He's a very competitive guy.
When he said that, were you like, what?
He
yeah,
really
exactly. He's just sitting there
say.
Picking at his
he did,
freaking nose.
He did. And you wanted
piercing.
To quit. And I,
no, I didn't want to quit. I was willing to take it for a lot of reasons.
I think your kids should be very proud of you. And I've known you a long time. And I've also known that you've been through a lot. And you're not a quitter.
What does that mean?
But Andrew, you're fired.
Yeah. All right. And I can accept that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's all worth it for the storm.
I don't think I would have done anything differently. You know, I came in there. I told them how I felt about baking cupcakes.
And he doesn't believe
I just want to thank Donald for having me on the show. Did I have a good time on Celebrity Apprentice? Absolutely.
Oh, good God. I just got to comment on one thing that I wanted to. Tony Hawk, huge celebrity. Makes millions off of his stupid...
Oh, he's got money out the butt.
Skateboard game, all that. Check. $1,000 for charity. There you go. You cheap bastard.
Yeah.
Were you thinking the same thing? Like, wow, $1,000. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that...
It's like, wow, what a humanitarian.
Hey, man. Maybe it's not his cause.
I love the guy. He comes down there. He goes, we want to take all the cupcakes off your hands. And that girl's like, no. How much are you going to give us first? Because we need these cupcakes.
What was her Annie something? She's a poker chick. Oh, is she just bitter?
She's
and
a
nasty
pro poker player. And it was Brandy.
Brandy Roderick.
Yeah, Brandy Roderick. She had these friends who were going to give her $9,000. And she was like, wait. How much are you going to give us first? Because we need these cupcakes to sell for the charity. And it was just like embarrassing, you know?
$9,000 sold.
The guy's just like, geez, I was going to give you $9,000. I guess I'll get Tony Hawk over here. I'll give you $1,000.
Here's $1,000 for one cupcake.
My buddy here, Tony Hawk, $1,000. There you go. I was just like, cheap bastard.
What about Tom Green getting the 15K from Donnie Deutsch?
I know. That was awesome. Yeah, that's what he loved. He said, I brought in some money. I called my friend Donnie Deutsch. He gave us, was it $15,000?
Yep.
And I also called my buddy Tony Hawk. He gave us $1,000. But yeah. And I would almost think more people would know who Tony Hawk is of this generation, but he's a cheap bastard.
Yeah, he is. Maybe he had to build a new skate ramp in his backyard.
Yeah.
I said, dude, it's a tax write-off.
Now, I want to talk about Hell's Kitchen before we take a break, Bill, just so we can catch up on these shows real quick.
All right.
And Hell's Kitchen, the Asian fusion, right? And they did the kind of head-to-head men, or it was the men's against the women, of course. But it felt like a Top Chef type of thing, didn't it, in a way?
Yeah, it did.
An Asian fusion type of meal.
It also kind of looked like a Top Chef thing with that chick's boobs.
You know,
it's
I was
the first thing I noticed. I was like,
I know.
Whoa.
I was like, wow, she's really showing us the cleavage. They had the what website was that she was from?
I have no idea, but I need to find out to see if there's any more pictures of her boobs online.
Was it Epicurious or something?
Epicurious, yeah. I've been to their website. They were even a show on, like, Discovery Channel a long time ago with that Michael LaMonaco.
Yeah, Ramsey's like, hey, here's a judge from Epicurious.com, a popular website. Here she is. And she walks out and it's like, ba-boom, look at my rack.
Boobs.
Check this out.
Look at these, boys.
And aren't you Epicurious about these?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the women win.
Ladies, lift your shirts.
Okay, I thought this was the dumbest award ever. It was a reward. It was, let's go fake sumo wrestle and then do shots. The sake shots. And nice. Get wasted.
Hey, it's Asian fusion.
Yeah. But the part
it's a fusion of racist and alcohol.
Were they in those big blow-up sumo suits?
Yeah. How many reality shows have you seen people have to... Like Amazing Race, they do that every season, don't they?
All of a sudden, it became the Road Rules Real World Challenge.
Yeah. And then, of course, Gordon Ramsay. When Gordon Ramsay comes out in that suit, it's like, dude, where's your dignity? It's all gone.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh my god, he's not doing this.
And then he jumps on John Philip. And he squishes him, and he's like, "I win," or whatever. And you notice he goes, "Okay, girls."
So they got the producers from MTV now working on.
I think so. And then they all go do shots, and then they show how Lacey is working well with the men now because she's doing origami.
She's the pretty girl in the group now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she's the only girl in the group.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous, too. She's really growing on me.
Oh, she is so hot.
Yeah. Now, this whole thing, I want to focus on Robert because Robert was doing the same thing that Andre was doing, where hiding their mistakes. They didn't want to take it up there and see Gordon Ramsay see that they overcooked it or undercooked it. Instead, they were just throwing it away, you know, like, oh, I'll just put it down here. Isn't that the same thing? Essentially, that's kind of what Seth did, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
He hid his mistakes. But Gordon Ramsay keeps calling Robert Bobby. He's like, Bobby, is that coming along, Bobby? And he's like, Bobby's not my name, it's Robert. And let's go ahead and check this out, because it really upsets Robert.
While the red team waits for Andrea to cook more Wellingtons, over in the blue kitchen, please Chef Ramsay is waiting for...
Bobby, let's go. Let's go, Bobby. I'm saying it once. Move, Bobby, yeah? You could do lose a few pounds. Let's go.
First of all, my name is not Bobby. It's Robert. So when he says Bobby, who the f*** is that?
Bobby!
Bobby!
No. My father's name's Bobby, and I had a childhood.
Bobby, look at me.
Every time I hear that, it brings you back. So he touched a nerve with me.
Bobby, Dory, Tuna, where is it? Why is he throwing stuff in the bin?
Here it comes.
What's going on? All this food in here. How much are you throwing away?
Too much, Chef.
Too
you
much.
Can't just trash it like that. I was thinking you wouldn't take it.
Doesn't
it up there
Robert sound drunk?
Whatever. Say that again, please. No, I can't.
I've been doing sake
shots.
Why can't
you look at me when I talk to you? Sorry, Chef. Sorry, Chef. Robert! Come here, you. Come here, you. Get out! Get out! Get in there!
What are you doing?
I'm trying to do the best I can for you.
Why is it so me? It's not about me. It's about you.
I refuse to put anything up there that you're going to send back, Chef.
Listen to me. Concentrate. Stop picking on me as an excuse. That's not good enough. You can't trash all that.
I up and I'm not going to put it up to you.
Wake up, Robert!
Bobby!
Dude, it took a lot for me to hold back, son. I'm telling you that.
Hey, Hans, Bobby!
Hey, have you given up?
No, Chef.
Hey, I'm not doing that to you, Chef. It's going in the trash can again.
I ain't trying to make you proud of me anymore.
Chef Ramsay,
kiss my ass.
That was wrong on so many levels. He mooned the camera.
If you've got any comeback, I'd do it now if I was you. Yeah, because you look like one sulky, pissed off cook. Find some form of passion. Cook your heart out. Stop around.
Yes, Chef. You notice what he calls me all the time?
Bobby.
He calls me Bobby. My name's Robert. My father was like his name was Bobby, and it was like.
So when he calls you Bobby, you don't look
like,
up?
I look at him, it's like another male.
Wouldn't that make his dad Robert also?
That treats you like
I know he had the same.
My favorite part is Gordon Ramsay's office.
He's, how much fun is that?
He's stapling papers.
Thank you.
It's like, yeah, I believe you're doing something, Gordon.
Well, excuse me while I staple.
Come in.
You can staple. Just stapling paperwork here, Bobby.
What if I called you Gordy?
Okay. You wanted to see me.
The main thing is, like, I know you don't understand, and that's why I'm telling you, like, my name is Robert, not Bobby. Once that's my father's name, and, like, growing up, it's been a hard road for me. I've been told all my life that you're a loser, you're a quitter, and
right.
His name was Bobby, and the moments that when
you're
I called
loser,
that,
you're
and
what?
You, like, look me in my eye, just that one precise second, it was just, like, flashback all okay. Back, you know, so...
That's fair enough. I get that. Yeah. I take that. And
okay,
I take
so you're
that.
Pussy.
I apologize if it's upset you by calling you Bobby. Just, I wish you had brought that to my attention earlier, because I wouldn't have done it. However, it's off your chest. Totally respect that, and I will totally follow it through.
Thank you, Chef.
Okay?
Appreciate
what if I start calling you Bobby Joe?
Bobby Joe! So seriously, wow, what the hell was all that? I think
he had a bad night, and he pawned it off on Ramsay, like, oh, I was having traumatic child trauma flashbacks.
Yeah, Bobby! It's like, it's pretty common to call someone Robert Bobby.
Yeah. It's shocking, Chef, because you sound exactly like my father.
My dad was an Englishman also.
He's from Glasgow, Scotland.
He's from Scotland.
He would call me Bobby, and it was really tough.
Wow. So, and also, the funny thing is they nominate...
Two people,
but... Gordon Ramsay tells him to get back, and he gets rid of Colleen.
That's what I love about this show, though, because if you remember a couple weeks ago, that dumb shit Seth was like, I'm going to vote for the strongest person. Like, he's thinking it's Survivor.
Yeah.
This show is not Survivor.
Survivor
Ramsay
Big
can
Brother.
Do whatever the hell he wants. There's no votes.
This
here.
Is the second week in a row where they've talked about being a player. Like, you know, like, he's a really good player. It's like, what? It's like, I think
he's a really good cook, in other words.
It's a reality show, but I wouldn't really call it a game show, you know?
Yeah.
But I was thinking, oh my God, Hell's Kitchen is a game. That's
like
my,
Lost.
That's
it
my
Lost.
Theory.
It's a game.
I'm going to start a website, hellskitchenisagame.com.
It actually is a game now on the Wii.
Sweet. Well, guys, let's go ahead and take a break because I got to urinate. Oh, yes.
Ew.
Oh, sorry about that.
Cuba.
I can't believe
sorry,
how good this feels.
And now, these messages.
Who are you?
I'm many faces with the power to change from man to robot to monster.
Oh, no.
He-Man
sold separately.
Hello, friend.
Hi. He-Man. He's your friend?
Friend and ally. He's just kind of weird sometimes.
Oh, in specially marked packages, Manny Faces comes with 5 extra weapons. He-Man and Manny Faces each sold separately. Part of the Masters of the Universe collection. From Mattel.
Dirk knows everybody has a style of their own. So the next time you're out to say something about yourself, remember this. And so does the great taste of Dirk with Redfin.
Wake up, all you sleepy heads. Colgate gets you out of bed. Now there's the Colgate pump. We've got the Colgate pump. It's a neat new trick, you know. Pump it on your brushing gun. They've got the Colgate pump. She's got the Colgate pump. Even moms and dads agree what makes it good is everything. Just a squirt of mintage, your protection teeth as you can tell. We've got the Colgate pump. We love the Colgate pump.
Two great tastes. Maximum fluoride protection. At your fingertips.
Murky! Rainbow Bright has a new cereal with fruit flavor and bright colors.
Colors? Let's see.
New Rainbow Bright brand cereal. Sweet fruity rainbows of bright color. A yummy part of this complete breakfast.
That aisle, murk out.
A blue cloud.
No match for Rainbow Bright.
Oh, no.
Weapon of color.
Idiot, we hate color.
No murk out breakfast for us.
Fruit flavor, colorful bite. Rainbow Bright.
throughout time, people have asked, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Maybe it was a Manglore, like Manglore Demon. You can pretend to hatch Manglore Dragon and Manglizard, too. Each sold separately in a make-believe egg. You can stretch them, squash them, take them apart. They'll return almost like new to their original forms. So if you want to hatch up some fun, you can crack open a Manglore. The Manglores, Manglore Demon, Manglore Dragon, and Manglizard. Each sold separately from Ideal.
Lunchtime.
Lunch. Aliens.
We're cosmic kids.
New from Chef Boyardee. Little aliens and robots. And flying saucers.
And rich pasta shaped like us.
Good food for active earthlings.
Hey, great. Chicken.
Taste out of this world.
There is intelligent life on Earth.
Cosmic kids. In tomato sauce with meatballs and now chicken flavor.
Good food for active earthlings.
Attenzione! Give your hamburger an Italian accent with new Chef Boyardee Hamburger Italiano. Dinners you make with hamburger for an authentic Italian taste. New Chef Boyardee Hamburger Italiano. Mangia!
A giant castle! With a giant! Let's go, Sue!
Time for a Cheerios breakfast, kids!
Yeah, Cheerios is a powerful part of this balanced breakfast.
You got gold with Cheerios, energy-os that help you grow. You got gold, gold, power with power. Coming up strong with Cheerios. You feel the Cheerios.
A Cheerios breakfast.
I gotta feel the taste, gotta make it right. Just one thing will do. Gotta get pumped, yeah, gotta get pumped.
The pop sensation of Kellogg's Corn Pop Cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast.
I gotta get pops, yeah, I gotta get pops.
Coming at you free, your own wacky wall walker. It tumbles and crawls down walls and even glows in the dark. It's wacky and free in Corn Pops.
Jake Rockwell, Ace McCloud, and Doc Terror, each sold separately.
Trouble up river, Jake! Energize the assault mode!
Let's do it!
My name is Doc Terror Dale! Centurion! Take this! Energize the power mode! Bombs away! Fire! Now suck your ball! Right, Jake?
Right, Ace!
New Centurions, Jake Rockwell, Ace McCloud, and Doc Terror come as shown, each sold separately.
Stop! Stop, evildoers! Introducing Super Stretching Superhero Stretch Armstrong. Yes, Stretch Armstrong, now stretching fun farther than ever before. He bends, he stretches, even ties and knots, but always returns to his original shape.
How'd he do that?
He's been doing that since he was a kid. Stretch Armstrong from Cap Toys. Who else?
The great basketball playoff from Ronald McDonald.
And I'm Chicken McNugget.
And Ronald makes the first basket. Now the McNuggets make the basket. The score's all tied up and the crowd's going wild. Ronald moves in for a dunk.
Barbecue sauce, McDonald's barbecue sauce, man.
And the McNuggets go for a dunk.
And you didn't even dribble.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
If I take one bowl of Cap'n Crunch's peanut butter cereal, part of this balanced breakfast, and I add another bowl of Cap'n Crunch's peanut butter cereal, what have I got?
A happy elephant!
That sums it up.
I got guinea pigs,
horses,
elephants!
Cap'n Crunch cereal brings you three fun new animal stamp albums.
He has 40 miles per hour.
There's one Smedley Zoo Pals, or CB's Farm Animals, or Captain's House Pets in each specially marked box of Cap'n Crunch.
Peter, do we ever cover steak with ketchup? Hamburger is steak, chalk steak, so we use...
They want steak sauce.
It makes hamburgers taste like...
Steak burgers.
Don't color it. Discover it with A1.
I, Skeletor, had another warrior named Whiplash.
Battle Armor He-Man and Skeletor, Whiplash and Buzzoff, each sold separately.
And I, He-Man, have a powerful winged warrior named Buzzoff. So it's the super singer Buzzoff against the vicious tail of Whiplash. Ha-ha! Now, may the mightiest warrior win.
Buzzoff and Whiplash figures are new from the Masters of the Universe collection. Other action figures also sold separately from Mattel.
Look at some work. Look at
We're back. Yum.
Oh.
Huh? Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm excellent.
Nice.
Donnie Trump.
Infant residue out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah. It leaves, like, that coating in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's about, maybe it was last year or the year before, I love those Girl Scout Thin Mints, and my wife brought home like 3 boxes, because you know everyone's kid sells them at her work.
Yeah.
I ate like 1.5 boxes, and I was like,
they're the type of cookie that you can just keep eating and you don't realize how much you eat.
Well, it's like you eat so many of them that you don't taste the good qualities of anymore. You taste like weird aftertaste that you don't notice.
Yeah.
You start tasting the baking soda in it or something. You know, it's just like, it's weird. You start, like, your body deciphers it. This doesn't taste good anymore. I'm going to now tell you what's...
I taste the high fructose corn soda.
Yeah. Your body starts telling you, this is what's bad about what you keep stuffing into me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like their shortbread cookies.
Yeah, shortbread are good,
the trefoils.
Which one are the ones that are, like, they look like shortbread, but they got the chocolate on the bottom?
Those are all-abouts. They stopped making those.
What?
Yeah, they don't make all-abouts anymore.
Oh, my God.
The new one they do are called Dolce de Leche. They're caramel cookies, and they're terrible. I got a box of those, too.
Are those just what? They're like caramel and coconut or some shit?
No, those are Samoas or Caramel Delights in
caramel
Canada.
Caramel Delights, yeah. Now, Thin Mints are the only ones I consistently like, but... I'm still afraid to eat them though now because
I like the Dosey-Dos too, but those are only good with hot cocoa. The peanut butter ones are like peanut butter cookie with peanut butter in the center.
Nice. Yeah.
Then there's the Tagalongs. Yeah. Those are chocolate with peanut butter in the center. Oh God, I'm doing it again,
Stop
aren't
it.
I? Doing it again. We did this the same time last year. I start talking about. Girl Scout cookies. And I sound like an asshole because I know too much about them.
I can't believe how good this feels.
Hey, it's Travolta. All right, guys. Top Chef. This was, this is
the recap.
There's no reason to even watch this, honestly. It's just the fluff piece, isn't it? It's just goofy, but I got a clip here and then we'll comment on it.
Well, I want to take a look at some of the more painful moments from Judge's Table.
Oh, do you?
Oh. We head to the Judge's Table, and it's time to hear the good and the bad.
You could smell it in a way which wasn't pleasant.
I find that extremely troubling.
No, what? What is he talking about?
Correctly. They go down the line and just completely annihilate us.
It was a failure of imagination.
Ouch. Like something you'd bought at a gas station at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Kind of reminded me of dishwasher detergent.
It was almost
inedible. Sometimes that's the best thing you can eat all day.
Inexcusable.
Yeah, I think
because you're hungover, just
tasted
hungry.
A bit like cat food.
So get them powdered sandwiches.
My God! And this is the new judge.
I thought it was revolting.
Toby Young. He's gonna piss off a lot of people.
I have found the weapons of mass destruction, and they are
he's gonna
in this
piss
bowl
off a lot of people.
Us.
Toby
he's gonna piss off a lot of people.
So,
the water sports
fetish.
This isn't going so well. I mean, you guys got to step up your game here.
It's nerve-wracking.
It's like eating some really potent pickle.
It's a snotty egg.
Atrocity.
Disaster.
Snotty egg.
I would actually ask for my money back.
But what do? They're the judges. You're in a competition about food, so...
I spit yours out into my napkin.
You know, the fact of the matter is that if you're going to be a chef, you're going to be critiqued. You're going to be critiqued by critics. And that's... I got to tell you, that's a worse feeling getting a bad review from a critic where it's written about your work. And so this is it's part of being a chef. It's unfortunate, but it's part of anybody that goes into the arts. You're going to be criticized.
Food critics generally get a lot of grief about being too harsh about food and, you know, not sparing chefs' feelings. But I think the reason you do get so harsh is because you really want the chefs to do well. And on this program, I really want everyone to do well. And when they don't, you kind of get angry that they let themselves down. And so you sometimes come out sounding a bit tougher than you originally meant to.
Kiss my ass. That's what I'm saying.
What do you guys...
Don't call me Bobby.
Is it about time we submit our show to another podcast reviewer, guys?
Remember, when you do something in the arts, it's going to be critiqued.
Yes. You know, the funniest thing, the thing I was entertained about on that whole thing, Bill, was the Leah and Jamie just getting shit-faced while waiting to go to the judges' table.
Great.
And I love they showed Jeff, and he's like, dude, those chicks are hammered. Just the way he said that. Those chicks are hammered. Because they went out there to the judges' table, and they're all like giggly, and they just wouldn't settle down. And Padma's
they
like...
They need to emphasize that more on the show, that they put alcohol in this room, and they do get shit-faced sometimes. Because
they always show them, they're always sitting there holding booze, like either wine bottles or beer bottles. And they tell them, they always tell them on this wrap-up show, like, sometimes you wait as long as, like, 3 hours while they're debating stuff. So
I want to know what the hell they're talking about for 3 hours.
If I was sitting in that room, I'd probably, you would be wasted by the time you went out there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, thanks, Stallone. God, what the hell?
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
Oh, God.
What is he talking about there? I'm trying to picture what he's talking about. Does he got a chick's legs in the air or something? Or?
Yeah, I think maybe he needs a little more room to maneuver.
Does Dice not realize he didn't set up the joke so no one knows to laugh?
That's all he knows how to say is Stallone. He just says it at any time.
All right, so let's Top Chef, whatever. It ended last week. This was nothing. But it was entertaining, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It's entertaining. Oh, and I want to say this about Watchmen. Out of all the shows I watch, Top Chef, Hell's Kitchen, Celebrity Apprentice, Dollhouse, Heroes, 24, Lost, BSG, not to mention Burn Notice, all those other shows, there's always a Watchmen commercial during all these shows.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
They really advertise the hell out of it. And every time I stop while I'm fast forwarding and I go, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah, same here. It's addicting.
That's pretty cool. Now, Dollhouse, we determined last week, is not a
terrible
good show. Not a good show.
I was laughing this week because even the guys at Penny Arcade, one of my favorite gaming comics blogs, did an article about how it's not a good show.
Yeah, it's really not, and the premise just doesn't work, and the whole Hilo investigating Dollhouse every week doesn't feel like it's even part of the same show. It just seems awkward. There's a part here where he gets set up, and he goes to where he thinks the dollhouse is, and he breaks in, and it turns out to be a den of Guidos or something, and they jack him. And I love, there's this part where...
I'm here looking for Cylons. I mean, the dollhouse.
Yeah, dollhouse. I mean, he's doing karate on these guys, and he grabs a bad guy and holds him up as a human shield. And the other guy pulls his gun and goes, blam, 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 blam. He shoots his friend, you know, his Guido buddy, like 20 times trying to shoot Hilo as he's holding him up. And apparently...
Yeah, move your legs back a little more.
Apparently, the guy's bulletproof. He can't shoot through
it. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Apparently, the human body bullets can't penetrate it. They just, you know,
no,
block it.
Not Guidos. They've got too much.
Guidos. So basically,
shield.
So what happens in this episode is Echo, played by Eliza Dushku,
so wonderfully Emmy worthy.
Eliza Dushku plays herself as she's a backup singer to a really bad singer who has a stalker. Who this guy's obsessed with her. I love you. I'm going to send you lots of flowers. So in this scene here, just to give you an idea of how good the show is, but I tell you guys this much. I got it recorded tonight. I'm going to watch it again. Why?
Because.
Why not? Eliza Dushku's in leather pants, okay? I got to watch it.
I've got it set to record tonight.
The only way I'd watch that show again is if she was just naked.
No, come on. Tight leather pants. That's good. See, I like accessories like that, you know, in clothes or whatever. But I got a
leather fetish.
But I got to tell you that my interest is waning, okay? If you know what I'm saying. Do you guys...
Yeah, well, this last episode was just a vehicle for Joss Whedon's brother to write more horrible music.
Yeah, because he did the, what do you call it? Help
did
me.
He write the songs for the singer?
Yes.
And that Dr. Horrible's...
Yeah, Dr. Horrible. Thank you.
Which wasn't bad. I actually own it on DVD. But, I mean, the guy can't write worth a shit.
Well, let's see how good the dialogue is in this scene as Echo is disturbed to see that the singer really likes the stalker. She likes being stalked. Weird. Oh. Let's check it out.
Have you ever felt so unbelievably alive?
Oh, this is going to be the best night of my life.
I am ready. I am so ready.
Hey, I thought you weren't getting fan mail anymore.
Huh?
I don't think they actually have a relationship with you. Comes with the territory. My music touches people, so they want to touch me back. Isn't the cops be getting all this stuff? Well, those are old. This one isn't. Mentions last night's show. They're all from the same guy.
I'm concerned.
It's him. The one they're all afraid of.
Steven, your elbows on the keyboard.
He's my number one fan.
The organ.
Audrey's a sweet girl, but she's got nothing on him. Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
Yo. Yo, dog.
What do you know?
Yo, he's
You're
not a fan.
You're a background singer. A wannabe. A nothing.
3 minutes.
Showtime.
3 minutes to nothing.
The biggest show ever.
And
do one of those ball tap things.
And cut. Great scene, guys. Print it.
Yo.
So you know, Bill, I'm concerned. I know you like that fan of ours, Ralston. He just seems.
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Hey, oh, shit.
Whoa. So yeah, Dollhouse.
Doll Hizzle.
Watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
No, you don't just watch it. You experience it.
Experience.
I want to know. Okay,
I like
Joss
that.
Whedon. Bill, I didn't see Firefly when it aired. I saw it on DVD at your recommendation. It was a good show. What was it, like 13 episodes or something? The box set. And, you know, people, there was a campaign, you know, people passed it around. Hey, you got to check this out. And everybody loved it. And then they made Serenity into a movie. And all this stuff. And so I picture Joss Whedon sitting around like, when is my big return to TV? What am I going to do? I know. Dollhouse!
I've got this great idea for mind-wipeable whores.
Yeah. I mean, basically, that's what it is. Oh, and the big revelation here is the guy Hilo has been tailing and trying to get information about Dollhouse is actually one of the Dollhouse members, so he has his brain wiped too.
Oh!
Except that wasn't a big shocking revelation because in the cast photos, he's standing there barefoot next to Echo on the set in all the promotional photos. So they pretty much gave away that secret there, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, okay.
They've really got their shit together over there.
All right, let's talk about Heroes, a show that just puts Dollhouse to shame. Geez.
If we couldn't deal with any more mediocrity, let's talk about
No,
Heroes.
We got to talk about Heroes for this one scene. Remember, Claire's hiding the guy who can breathe underwater in her closet.
Yes.
And her mom discovers it, and this scene happens, and I was amused. Let's check it out.
Mom, this is Alex. He's my new boyfriend.
Okay, that doesn't explain why he's hiding in your closet.
Right. Well, we're...
He's homosexual.
Are you really going to make me say it out loud?
Absolutely.
And I know it's wrong. Very, very wrong.
You do understand that my daughter is only 17.
I have.
And that she's a fidget.
Okay. And she's great in the sack.
Claire.
She wears way too much makeup.
The truth.
She overplucks her eyebrows.
Yeah.
She has an ability.
Her hairline is bizarre. Oh,
I love this. He has an ability. He's dangerous. What is it?
I can breathe underwater.
What'd you say?
And you breathe. That was after my...
He's
Aquafag. Do you have any idea how dangerous this is?
Yes, I do. But what was I supposed to do? Just let him...
And on top of that, you lied to me.
Listen, I wonder if the actors are like, haven't we had this conversation on other episodes?
Yeah.
You know how dangerous this is, Claire? I know it is, but Dad, blah, 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 blah. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Let's just say the same shit over and over again on every episode. Whee!
I know who the new makeup person is for Hayden Panettiere, because she looks bizarre.
Yeah, she's like, had wigs on. She has pancake makeup all over her face.
Yeah, the pancake makeup is particularly bad, but she's got that odd hairline, the eyebrows, I mean, it's so disturbing to look at.
It's Tim Kring. I think he's trying to It's like the Elvis thing. His mom passed away, and he's trying to turn her into his mom or something. That's my guess.
The lump in the back of my mama's neck.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
What does that mean?
Yeah, and there was a line that Aquafag does where he says, what are you, like Harriet Tubman? And I was like, isn't that kind of in bad taste? Like, to equate Claire to a, you know, Underground Railroad slave? I mean, just like, it just didn't feel right to me.
You saw where they were going, but it just went the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's just like, what?
And why is it they can't have a woman on the show that's not just a horrible actress and a bitchy, I'm a bitchy horrible actress, like the agent that they send, like, Claire, we're going to look through your house and look through all the cabinets and closets, and I'm a bitch.
I'm going to look for more sandwiches to put in Mr. Muggle's mouth just perfectly.
Oh, God, that was genius, the part where you think he's hiding under the bed when the mom's there, but Mr. Muggle's comes up with this big sandwich hanging out of his mouth that looks like it's tied around his head to hold, hang on. That was hilarious.
Like a dog is going to put an entire sandwich in its mouth.
And the funniest, you remember how I was like, the only thing interesting right now going on this show is the Siler storyline, but
oh, apparently shit, they don't take 180.
Apparently they don't want me to watch the show anymore.
Yeah.
Because he flashes, he goes to this diner. Meanwhile, the kid that he's with is so goddamn annoying.
Yeah,
Siler,
really.
What are we doing here? Why did you stop here? What are you doing? Are you daydreaming about something? What are you doing, Siler? You know who this is? That kid Pruon guy from YouTube.
Yeah, you're right.
I want guy.
Hey guys.
Did you see... I want Hero the Flank.
Did you see that? I sent you a link to his latest video.
Yeah.
And in the comment section, someone wrote, and I thought it was, it's mean-spirited, it's horrible, Steven, because it's poor teenager. But I, at the same time, I thought it was hilarious. This guy said, my self-esteem just shot up. It's like, I see this kid, hey, my self-esteem ain't so bad. I'm doing pretty well.
He's such an asshole.
But, Siler, what are we doing here? This is boring. I'm Generation Y. I got an iPod or something.
Do I hear the opening to The Chain?
Yeah, they kept playing Fleetwood Mac in his flashbacks. He remembers his dad basically selling him to some couple.
And his dad was a child trafficker.
Yeah, and he goes out, he follows in the flashback, follows his dad out there, and he gets in the car arguing with his mom, and he does a hand motion like Siler does and cuts her forehead, and she falls out of the car. And he's going.
Yeah, and it's red blood in a black and white flashback.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's black and white, Steven, but when he hits her, the blood splatters on the windshield. It's color. It's red.
Nice.
Very effective. Never seen that ever done before in anything, especially Gatorade commercials.
That was shocking.
Yeah. And then, not only that, the little kid, baby Siler, or whatever, he's going, Mommy, Mommy, cut to present day. And Siler's saying, Mommy, Mommy. Doesn't work.
He was talking about the Maumee River in Ohio and Toledo.
I can't believe how good this feels.
Wow. So
love will keep us together running in the shadows.
Oh, you know, the best part of the whole episode, though, was Peter and Parkman. Peter and Parkman. That'd be nice.
Yes,
acoustic
like
group.
Yeah. Peter and Parkman.
Like Chad and Jeremy or something. They go into the bad guy's lair, the government facility.
They infiltrate it with extreme close-ups and Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah, he's like, let me steal your power. We'll both have it, and it'll be even better. So there's a lot of shots of them concentrating looks, looking at guards, and the guards looking confused. Just over and over again, they keep running into other people staring at them. The camera cuts left and right towards their faces. It's the most retarded shit you've ever seen. And then cut to... they go into the computer room and they're like, finish your lunch. What does he say? Finish your sandwich or something?
Yeah, finish your sandwich.
I'm going to go out and finish my sandwich.
And the guy was like, I will finish my sandwich. Yeah.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
And cut to the actor who we've always said is a great actor. And,
but?
Zeljko Zegazaga.
Zegazagi?
Ivonic. Yeah. He, his agent gave him really bad advice and took a job on Heroes. And he's looking at the camera at Parkman, and Parkman's smirking at the camera like, ha, 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 look what we did, woo! really bad. There's nothing
more. And a nod to the camera. Hey, we're on TV.
There's nothing more to say about Heroes, is there?
What was funny was you're forgetting the scene that they've been wanting the entire time since they introduced Aqua Boy. Them running away, hiding in a pool, and him giving his breath to Claire.
Right,
underwater.
She's drowning, Steven, even though she's not going to die, right?
Yeah,
she's
going, she can't die, but she's drowning.
And he's like, no, wait, I'll save you, Claire, with his tongue kiss in her mouth.
Let me shove my tongue down your throat.
Yeah, if she can't die, then she couldn't. She
your tongue is like a lizard.
Underwater.
No, but she's like, she would just, I guess she would swallow all the water, but she wouldn't die, right?
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe she would die, but revive. I don't know. The show sucks. Okay, yeah, 24.
And we get shocked at the end by Puppet Man.
Oh, yeah. The Hello, puppet Barbara. Guy comes back.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, 24. General Juma, he's going to attack the White House. Everyone knows it. The viewers know it from the promos. But no one on the show knows it. And it drives you crazy because they don't know.
Because they're all idiots.
But Jack knows that this certain secretary guy, this certain assistant guy, worked with E.K. Dabaku. And Jack is like, I can't tell anybody. There's no time. I just need to sneak in there and torture the guy and get the answers I need. Did that make any sense to you at all?
No. Absolutely not. It made absolutely no sense.
So I love this. He goes in the White House and Bill's sitting there. Hey, Jack, how's it going? And then this happens. It's awesome.
Jack, you got here sooner than I expected.
What the?
Jack, put down your weapon. Now!
Jack, we were having a friendly conversation.
Step away from the desk. Take a seat. Sit down, Bill.
Okay, I'm sitting. Now, what's this all about?
Where's Ryan Burnett?
What?
Senator Mayer's chief of staff. Where is he?
I'm not saying anything until you tell me what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's smart.
Let me double back to one of his contacts, who gave him information of a second attack. It's going to take place here in Washington within the hour. Juma's operatives are carrying it out. Burnett's been supporting them all along. He knows where the attack's going to take place, so you can either tell me where he is, or I will find him myself.
Jack, I can't.
Jack, you didn't even breathe during that sentence.
Put your hands behind your back. Now!
How good is the intel?
Good enough for me to need to talk to him. Don't you move.
It's a great new processor.
Let me have him arrested. There are other ways to deal with this.
Attack window's open.
It's got an API motherboard connected to it.
Yeah.
Jack, listen to me. I spoke to the president on your behalf. She's going to intervene with Senator Mayer. Stop the hearing.
Senator Mayer? This is confusing.
You can get your life back.
Is he a senator or is he a mayor?
You do this, you're throwing it all away.
I wish I thought there was another option.
Let me help you at least, Jack.
I love this. He gets Bill into a chokehold.
You don't have to do this alone.
Yes, I do. It's the only way I can make sure to keep you out of this.
Jack.
Bill, I'm sorry.
Jack.
Don't move.
Wait. Put a little pressure on your carotid.
Sleep.
When I snap my fingers, you will wake up and think you're a chicken.
That's what I want to see in a sleeper hold move like that. He gets Bill in a sleeper hold, and then he's like that. But I want him to instantly be like deep REM sleep, snoring and everything.
Mommy.
I decided if there's any computer mumbo jumbo on any episode, we have to include it. So here you go. This week's computer jargon. Thank you.
Are you busy? I'm just reformatting the server, so yeah, I guess I am busy. Why?
Well, I was cross-referencing Dubaku's offshore accounts, and I came across an orphaned header fragment.
What are you talking
about?
What? Take a look. Okay, see? There it is, right there. It's a remnant file header.
It's probably just a phantom data string.
No, it isn't. I ran a systems analysis.
Phantom data string?
The coding's not
Come
random.
On, everybody knows that.
It can be traced back to one of the accounts. Also, it looks like a name was deleted from the list.
It's an extraterrestrial data stream.
Well, you're very busy with the reformatting and all, so why don't I just upload it to my station and take care of it there?
Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
I can do
delicious.
It after. No offense.
It's a data apparition.
I'll let you know if I retrieve anything.
Sure.
So
I hear EEP.
It's probably just a phantom data string.
I love that.
It's a ghost in the machine.
So basically, the whole episode is the bad guys taking over the White House, and at the very end, They finally get the president because they threaten to cut her daughter's eyes out in front of her. She's like, all right, I give up.
About the excellent White House intrusion a la The Rock.
Oh, I know. They go. This is how they get in the White House, Stephen. Underground by swimming in scuba outfits. They cut into some kind of ancient drain pipe or something. I don't know. Apparently, you didn't know this.
Was it left there by
Benjamin Franklin. I don't know. You know, see, the White House, you didn't know this, Stephen.
It was left there by Sean Connery.
The stone carvers.
The White House is an island, right?
The Freemasons.
The Freemasons.
So, okay. I mean, I don't know what to say. First of all, I was completely entertained. I thought it was hilarious and ridiculous. But
Tony Todd goes back to The Rock.
It's just so ridiculous. And also, Clarence Boddicker is on the show.
Nice.
Which is awesome. And you know, I was telling Bill, and I was like, you know what? Like 2 years ago, we were talking about they need to get Clarence Boddicker on 24. And they did. And it's like it didn't even register with us for a while, you know?
Yeah, they've had the entire crew on 24, I think. I don't know. Yeah, there was a black guy.
Yeah, they haven't had the black guy yet, but they had Emil. They had the dad from Twin Peaks, Laura Palmer's dad, who's also the devil on Reaper. And they've also had Peter Weller. He's
starting to look more and more like George Hamilton.
They need to get Miguel Ferrer on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crossing Jordan's been canceled. They need to get him on the show, definitely. I love it.
Miguel Ferrer and what's his name? Dick Smith.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Cox. Ronnie Cox. Totally. Ronnie Cox needs to play the president or something. But also,
dude,
you know what they need to do is bring in the Ed 209. Like, don't worry. We're protected. You're illegally parked.
And Dan
yeah. Oh. They could get his son, though. Oh. All right, so 24, we'll check. One thing I wanted to say that I was disappointed, this was all set up, so Jack didn't kill anybody yet, really, did he? Maybe a couple guys, I think.
One of DeBaku's men stole the device from John Connor that he can take ATM money from.
Insert stolen card now.
Easy money.
Yeah, easy. And he's got Danny Cooksey with him, too, which I thought was weird. They went to the arcade.
Why is it that every secure room on 24 has a panel that you can open and then override?
I know. And why didn't...
Jack, get that lamp cord!
And didn't Juma know all he had to do was, like, break into the air vent and stick some ammonia in there to get him out? Because Jack already did that this season. All right, let's talk about Lost. Lost, I thought, was pretty good. It was all about Sawyer, Juliet, Jin, Daniel Faraday, although we didn't see him much in the things.
Only like the opening 10 minutes or so.
It was all about what they've been doing in the past, which is they came into the good graces of the Dharma Initiative people.
Uh-huh.
And they brought back that guy, I forget his name, the character who was nice to Ben when he was a little kid.
Horace.
Yeah, Horace. Yeah. And I love that. He's drunk and he's throwing dynamite. Woo-hoo!
Get drunk.
That would be fun. Get drunk and just throw sticks of dynamite, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, until you blow your hand off.
Absolutely.
So it starts out with them like, you gotta get LaFleur. Get LaFleur out here. And they knock on the door, and it's Sawyer who answers the door. He's LaFleur.
You know what was driving me crazy? What was the name on the outfit of the guy that was in the van, in the VW van that they found?
It was Workman. Something Workman.
Okay, because I was like, was it LaFleur? Like, my mind was going crazy.
No, remember, it turns out, I think we already figured out who that was. That was Ben's dad, because Ben...
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I was all confused. You know, Lost makes me crazy.
But one thing that I thought was very interesting about Sawyer's character is you see, he's like, let's go back to the beach. And they're like, what? And Miles is like, go back to the beach. Go back to the orchid. Go back to the beach, whatever. And Juliet's like, yeah, let's go with them. He's like, thanks for backing me up. She's like, it's not a really good idea, but I figured something good may happen. You know?
Yeah.
Something may get... But it's almost like Sawyer totally turns into a leader in this episode, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like a decent leader. And he kind of finds his groove, and he turns out to be pretty good at what he's doing, which is basically, she said, don't worry, Sawyer can think on his feet. He's a con man. So when he goes to talk to her, hey, my name is LaFleur, and we crashed in our boat. And, you know, he just comes up with these lies, like, really fast on his feet, and it works. But my favorite scene is basically they stumble along what I think are some others attacking this lady. They're putting a bag over her head. Some guy's dead on the ground. So Sawyer's like, we got to intervene. Because doesn't Faraday say, it doesn't matter what you do, it won't change anything?
Yeah,
so he's like, exactly. Okay, I'm going to go over there and save her. And he's got a rifle. One thing I noticed, and then it called attention to, I could have sworn that one of the others shot Sawyer and it didn't do anything. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. It looked like it.
It almost seemed like he shrugged it off, like, oh, I guess I didn't get hit. But I swear to God, he got shot, but it didn't affect him because he's not of that time, maybe, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But he saves that girl, and, you know, through a series of circumstances, they make their way back. And Horace is telling them they're going to go home immediately the next day on the sub. They don't belong there. Until Richard Alpert shows up. And Sawyer says, I'll go talk to him because it was my fault. I killed his men when they had a truce. The Dharma Initiative people had a truce. And this is what happens. Let's check it out.
Hello, Richard. I'm sorry, do we know each other? I'm the guy that killed your men. Heard some gunshots. Saw two men throwing a bag over a woman's head. Gave him a chance to throw the weapons down and walk away. One of them took a shot at me, and I defended myself.
That's so?
That's so.
Your people know that you're telling me this.
Ain't my people, Hoss. So if you got some kind of a truce with them, it ain't been broken.
If you're not a member of the Dharma Initiative, then what are you?
Did you bury the bomb?
Excuse me?
The hydrogen bomb with Jughead written on the side. Did you bury it? Yeah, I know about it. I also know 20 years ago some bald fella limped into your camp and fed you some mumble-jumble about being your leader. And then poof, he went and disappeared right in front of you. He was ringing a bell. That man's name is John Locke. I'm waiting for him to come back. So... still think I'm a member of the damn Dharma Initiative?
No. Guess I don't. But no matter who you are, two of my men are dead. And my people need some kind of justice. What are we going to do about that?
So he gives them the body of that dude, basically. And by the way, the girl that he saves, who is pregnant, was the chick from 24, Michelle Zessler.
Yeah.
And when she's in labor with her baby, he gets Juliet to deliver it, even though she doesn't want to because all that baby stuff. So many pregnant women died on her there on the island.
No, actually, she just hates babies.
Yeah, how could she? I mean, come on. Who doesn't love a baby? But I thought that's what was interesting about this episode. It showed how Juliet kind of backing up Sawyer, almost believing in him. And remember, there's a part where she's like, I'm getting on that sub tomorrow. I'm leaving. I've been on this island way too long. I'm getting the hell out of here. And he, like, begs her, and he tells her that he needs her to stay. She's the only person he can talk to because Jen's English is bad. Daniel Faraday's a nut job, you know. And that other guy talks to dead people. So she stays there. And basically what we see, they're there for 3 years waiting for Locke to come back, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been sitting there for 3 years, and a relationship between Sawyer and Juliet develops where I guess they're in love or whatever. And I don't know if you felt the same way I did, but when he's talking to Horace, and Horace is like, can you ever get over your first love or whatever? And he gives him that long talk about, like, 3 years is plenty of time, trust me, because he's not in love with Kate anymore. And when Kate shows up and she's standing there, I'm like, no, dude, no, come on. Yeah. Is it Kate? Her character just gets on my nerves, dude.
Mine too.
Stick with Juliet, all right? She's a good woman there, okay?
Kate would die already. I hope she's one of the people that don't make it.
I mean, it's just like she's, you know, I got a baby now. I'm taking care of Aaron. I'm all worried and stuff.
She's a wet blanket.
Yeah. So Juliet is like, yeah, it's cool. I'll stand by you, Sawyer. It may be a bad idea to do this, but I'll follow you. You know, I got your back. I got a rifle here. You know, she's there with him.
I'm hot.
Yeah, and she's hot. And not only that, Bill, she's making him dinner. She's a good cook.
She's hot, she's loyal, and she can cook.
And I love this, so realistic, the scene where the phone rings and he like rolls over and he's squishing her, trying to get to the phone, like push her head into the bed. She's like, give me the damn phone. But I thought this was a fun episode, and unfortunately we have to wait 2 weeks for another
one. Oh, man, when it said lost in 2 weeks, I was like, damn it!
Damn you bastards! But maybe, is it because that new show starts next week? No, it's the 17th.
I think we get a new Smallville next week.
Though. Ooh, yeah.
March 12th?
No, there's this new Nathan Fillion show called Castle coming
on. Yeah, but
on
that's on Monday. That's after Dancing with the Stars on Monday.
Is it like next week or like the third week? Next week. No, 17th. I think is when it is. Whatever. I don't know. I'm just rambling. So anyway, yeah, good Lost. Oh, and we forgot to mention the coolest part. It was this episode began right after Locke vanished after the Flash, and he was in the well, and they were like, there's not even a well here anymore. Whatever time we're in, it was before it was ever built. And Miles goes, I'll say, and in the distance you see a giant statue.
The four-toed statue.
The four-toed, but it's completely built, but they see the back part of it, so you don't see the front. And they're like,
looks kind of Egyptian.
Yeah, it looked kind of crazy. And they go, whoa. And all of a sudden they get another flash and it's gone. It's like, damn it. But I like when the show teases us like that. So let's talk about Battlestar Galactica real quick, Bill, and we'll do the news, okay? Right. Basically, this episode was all set up with Boomer, wasn't it? The chief, he's still in love with her, and she's a poor victim.
No, he's not still in love with her. He's just an idiot.
Yeah, he really is an idiot. Because the whole thing is about how he remembers when he was back in love with her, having an affair with her. Remember that in secret? Think about the good old times. He's not thinking about when she shot Adama and all that other bad stuff she did.
There was a lot of bizarre melodramatic shit in this episode. I wasn't a big fan of it.
What about when they're... what did she call it? Cylon projection?
Where they that was just made up.
They can hold hands, Steven, and just go
somewhere.
That was
weird shit.
In their imaginary house, and they have a kid or whatever.
Yeah. I was just like, what in the hell is this crap?
But basically what the Cylons say, we want Boomer. And they're like, wait, no. And they're like, no, you don't understand. We want her because we're going to execute her. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so the chief is like, no, she's pretty and I love her and stuff. Couldn't he? There's like a bunch of Sharons. Couldn't he fall in love with a different one? I mean, come on.
Her personality is so distinct.
They all seem so distinct.
So what is it? What he does is he kills a Sharon model and replaces her to make it look like
He killed the Boomer already
or something. They never really show what happens the result of that, but. She escapes, and what does she do? She goes straight to Sharon with Hilo, beats the shit out of her, then has some sex with Hilo while she's peeking through the little eye hole all tied up and beat to shit. That scene I actually thought was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, that was.
And then
that was the furthest I've seen them take like a sex scene on cable TV.
It was almost like watching a Skinemax scene like your eyes. That's how much of a view you had on it.
Through like a little crack.
And poor Hilo, he's like, yeah, I'm getting laid tonight with my lady. It's like, dude, it's not her. I mean, you know what? She can't hold him accountable for that, can she? There's like a whole bunch of her, okay? So if he goes, I thought it was you. He's not bullshitting because, you know.
It was.
Plus, he's looking for the dollhouse all the time. He doesn't have time to think about silent stuff.
He needs him some hoes.
So also,
tell the difference.
She takes Hera, and she's like, "Oh, I'm here at daycare, you know, space daycare, and I'm picking up my daughter."
space daycare. We need to take her space checkup.
look, yes, she's got her space suit. Oh, she did some space drawings. Oh, thanks. And those drawings, by the way, she
put them
gives
in your
to,
space refrigerator.
She gives them to Starbucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
For Starbucks to carry.
Can I just say that the whole Starbucks story was terrible?
Starbucks. Okay. I have a clip here, and it's Starbucks talking to the piano player. The one cool part about it, Bill, is when he starts playing old Battlestar Galactica music. He's like, dun 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 dun. Dun.
Oh, the piano man.
No, he's playing the old Battlestar Galactica TV show music.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that scene was really cool. But here's the scene between Starbuck and the piano guy, and let's check it out.
God damn it! You have to continue to play the same lame ass song. Give it a rest.
I'm not playing the same lame ass song. I'm composing it. Been at it for 4 days now. It's hell.
So then quit. What's the point?
Point is to bring a little grace and beauty to an otherwise ugly and brutal existence.
Oh, give me a frackin' break. Is that what you were doing when the Cylons attacked the 12 colonies? Did your music stop one missile?
Pretty cynical point of view. Something happened to you.
Yeah. I wonder what it could be.
Okay, closing time. Drink up and let's go, folks.
I have an observation for you. You want to be an immortal composer? You better learn how to play that thing first.
Wow.
Could you be my
It's a wonderful day in this neighborhood.
Ah, he's good.
A wonderful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine?
That's awesome.
It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
He really told
me. That's a nice segue.
He showed Starbuck, didn't he?
Like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood.
Son of a bitch, I was taking a drink.
So.
Oh, man.
Awesome. So what was that whole subplot about? She has daddy issues, I guess. Is that what it was about?
Yeah, her dad taught her to play the piano.
And I can understand that and stuff, but you have like 4 episodes left. Come on! You know, it's just like...
Okay, so he's not there, and let's say it was her dad. How come she didn't know it was her dad?
And I guess it wasn't. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I know. It makes no freaking sense.
Because the song she keeps trying to learn that her dad taught her is All Along the Watchtower. And when she plays it at the end, I love the shot of Ty's eye widen like, that's that god fracking song again. What the hell?
Me a guitar so I can burn it.
And it turns out Hera gave her that piece of paper was actually the song written out. I don't know what any of that means.
And it just so happened to match the sheet music.
I totally, I want to know what all this means, and I want to know next week. I'm sick of waiting. There's only three
Guess
episodes.
What? It means absolutely nothing.
All Along the Watchtower.
Oh, give me a frackin' break.
The musical beat are the directions to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
it's
believe
a mathematical,
how good it feels.
It's a mathematical formula.
Yep.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
That's what it is, yeah. It's an intrinsic field, like Dr. Manhattan.
Bill.
What?
Sit down, Bill!
Oh, okay.
Whoa, Jack Bauer wants you to stop standing.
Can I lay down? I'm getting a little tired.
Very wrong.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some news? I have nothing else to say about BSG, although when she jumped away in the raptor at the end, it created some kind of...
Space-time distortion.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's good. Exactly, Steven. And it caused a crack in the Galactica, which is already not doing too well.
Yeah.
That Mighty Putty isn't holding up.
No, you know what? They should get their money back.
Billy Mays here.
I guess it doesn't travel well through the future.
All right. It dries out. Whatever chemicals in the green and white stuff dries out.
Rubbish.
You know what they need is kaboom, baby.
Kaboom, baby.
I want to eat spaghetti in the shower again. Oh, no.
All right, Bill, let's do the news. All right.
This is Chuck to remind Bill to shut up.
It's probably just a phantom data string.
Oh, exactly. You know what I wanted to say is we got a phone call during the BSG segment, but we're really rushed for time. So
you know what? It's probably Andy because I was giving him shit last week. He messages me with exclamation points, BSG, BSG, BSG. And I was like, dude, it sucked. He got all pissed off at me.
Oh, and he was calling in
to defend it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy, but we're just pressed for time, so we got to keep it rolling, baby.
And right, I need to blow my nose real quick. 1 second.
And you know what? I wouldn't say the episode sucked. It had some good moments, but it also had a lot of stuff. I liked the developments of the boomer stuff. How it turned out that she's really psychotic and. Well, how she kidnapped Hera was kind of horrifying, you know? And but
it's not a final episode kind of thing.
Right, exactly. That was my point, that you have 3 episodes left, and the stuff with Starbuck finding herself with the piano man I thought was a little strange.
Yeah.
A little weak. Weak sauce. You know what
All
I'm
right.
saying?
I'm going to keep the news short only because we have so many TVs.
Pull your legs back a little more.
Thank you, Dice. I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. IGN UK got their review up for Resident Evil 5 for PlayStation, or I'm sorry, for Xbox 360 and PlayStation. And they're giving it pretty good marks.
Really?
It's getting 9.5 for presentation, graphics, and sound. It gets a knock down to 8.5 for gameplay. They say it's just a little, you know, it suffers because I guess it has really bad AI issues with the partner. Like, she's always dying, getting in the way of shit. That co-op is really the best way to play this game. And that the lasting appeal is okay. Only about an 8.5 is about 12 hours of gameplay. And that the harder levels will take you a long time.
What about the control issues?
They said, you know, it suffers because the controls are dated, but it's a good game, and you kind of get used to the shit controls.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing. I don't want to have to adapt. They need to adapt. They need to update the frickin' controls already.
Right. I mean, the demo annoyed the shit out of me, honestly.
Yeah. But it's got a 9.0 overall, which is outstanding, actually. So, might want to give
a
look.
Fracking break.
I was going to cancel my pre-order, but I think I'm going to leave it alone. If it's bad, I can always get rid of it on GooseX.
Yeah.
All right. News. Every week I seem to talk about a teacher that's having sex with a student. And that seems to be the mistake, the whole intercourse thing. Well, why not try phone sex? Because that's not illegal, right? Well, Broward school officials may fire an elementary school teacher Tuesday for making a sexual phone call to a former student. District says Matthew Diggs, 41-year-old music teacher at Plantation Elementary, described his sexual fantasies and talked about oral sex while on the phone with a 16-year-old girl who had been his student in 4th and 5th grades. Good Lord, man. He also allegedly started moaning.
What?
Apparently masturbating during the call.
Oh, dear.
Dix had run into the former student at her younger sister graduation. He later asked the girl to give her older sister his cell phone number, and he pressed the former student to call him. when she did soon after graduation, Diggs first discussed his motorcycle outings to the Hard Rock and recent breakup with his girlfriend. Sexual talk took place during another call.
I'm going to milk it.
Oh, man, what an asshole. The complaint also says Diggs did not tell school authorities the truth when he was confronted about the issue. He's been suspended with pay during the investigation, and they will consider suspending him without pay. But it doesn't say anything about the girl who was on the other line, whether she was the one complaining or the ones that overheard the call.
Yeah.
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
That's so funny. Hey, baby, you know, I really miss you. You were so hot in fourth grade. you want to hear about my motorcycle?
It's really cool.
And my trip to the Hard Rock.
Hey, shit.
Can I just say I love Kleinman, by the way?
Kleinman kicks ass.
The amazing Kleinman.
You suck, asshole.
I love it.
Shit.
And his poor assistant.
Yes.
Laurel.
She's a quad.
She's a quadriplegic.
Well, maybe she's a paraplegic.
All right. So in Chula Vista, California, a San Diego County man wanted for a store robbery was arrested after he showed up to take an examination to become a police officer.
Rubbish.
Romeo Montaleno was arrested Wednesday for investigation of robbery, making criminal threats, and grand theft. He remained in the San Diego County Jail. Investigators had identified Montaleno as a suspect in a December 8th robbery at the Chula Vista Kmart, where the man stole a television, DVD player, and telephone, then beat up employees who confronted him in the parking lot. A short time later, investigators learned that Montaleno had signed up to take the February Police Department entrance exam. Wow. That sucks. I guess maybe he thought he was above the law, but he wanted to become the law.
What? You're kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Some people are really assholes, like this guy. A man who tried to kill himself has received $180,000 in damages from a hospital, which saved his life but left one of his arms damaged.
Yikes.
Michael Dexter was taken to Blackburn Royal Infirmary after taking around 100 pills with rum and coke and was given an excessive amount of neuralizing drugs. These caused severe tissue damage to his right arm, which he described as third-degree burns. I know they saved my life, but if you went in with a heart attack, you wouldn't expect to leave with a limb you can't use. Okay, asshole. You tried to kill yourself, and they saved you. And now you're going to...
You look like assholes right now, man.
Good Lord.
I can't... I've
heard about
this. Just as screwed up in the UK as it is here.
It's like in The Incredibles, and that guy goes to kill himself, and Mr. Incredible saves him, remember?
Yeah.
Then he sues him? What the hell?
I can't believe that people actually do this, and he's getting the money. I mean, he's got the money. He got $180,000 US, which
Dude.
Is about like 90,000 pounds.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'm going to try to kill myself, but I want somebody to save me.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to sue their ass. It could backfire, though. This whole plan could backfire.
Could come out just fine. You may not necessarily have that.
Or arm. Somebody might not save me also.
Or, yeah.
That would kind of suck.
This is the last story I have to mention here, or maybe second to last story. A Pennsylvania driver sat through six lights and faces a DUI charge now. Police say horns started honking as a sport utility vehicle sat through six green lights at a South Central Pennsylvania intersection. Police officers arrived to investigate the SUV that seemed to be parked in the intersection. Yeah, those are the horns, too. It was taking place in 1930. He found the driver asleep at the wheel with his foot on the brake and a beer in his hand.
Nice.
Awesome.
Officers yelled to wake the man, then had to quickly halt the vehicle when his foot came off the brake and it drifted into the intersection. That's smart. Let's wake up the drunk so that he can go out into the middle of the intersection.
So he was charged with driving under the influence. Technically, they didn't catch him driving. He was just sitting.
He was drifting. He wasn't driving. Yeah.
And they caused the drifting. So he should sue them. Now, this last story I have to mention because the Atlanta Journal did a whole little article here on the crazy shit that's gone down at the Waffle House over the past couple of years. And it says that in 1999, Tonda Dickerson, a Waffle House waitress in Montgomery, Alabama, gets a lottery ticket as a tip, wins $10 million, four co-workers sue her, saying they had a verbal agreement to split any lottery winnings, but the court throws the case out, and the waitress got to keep all the money.
Awesome. Screw them.
Yeah. In 2002, Jay-Z takes Beyonce out to dinner at 3 a.m. following her birthday party to a Waffle House. Now, that's a classy guy.
Now, that's a romantic.
Yeah. Baby, I'm taking you to the Waffle House.
He's a player, yo.
You're so romantic, Jay-Z.
What the hell's your real name anyway?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. 2003, the late Lawrence Clark requests his memorial service to be held at his favorite Waffle House near Gainesville. About 40 people, many of them employees, attend, with Clark's ashes in an urn on the hood of a car in the parking lot. He's as a customer, the manager says Clark wasn't too picky, but he loved his eggs. There you go. The man found, a great life at the Waffle House and in death. Two women, I guess they couldn't let his ashes into the Waffle House because that would be unsanitary. But being that Waffle Houses are pretty filthy,
yeah,
I don't think it mattered.
No,
probably not very clean in there.
Two women in March 2007, two women get into a fight in a Waffle House in Richmond, Kentucky. When police arrive, four men at the counter leave during the confusion, not paying their $100 tab. Police chase the men at speeds reaching 100 miles per hour, and the men finally crash into a pole and are arrested. No word on how the four people, even drunk, can spend $100 in a Waffle House.
Yeah, isn't that like $3.99 all you can eat or something?
Like yeah.
That?
I mean, this must be gourmet Waffle House.
Waffles on me, everybody!
I don't think I've eaten at a Waffle House for 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, I remember going to one when I was a little kid, and it was so filthy. You know what it reminded me of? Did you ever see the movie Dutch with Ed O'Neill?
Yes.
Where him and the kid go to that diner, and the menus are all stuck together with grease?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was like. I mean, they're filthy and they're disgusting.
I remember as a kid going with my buddy Ray, and we were like, dude, it's like $3.99 and all we can eat. And we went there, and one meal was enough. It was like, I'm not ordering anything else.
Never eat here again.
Yeah.
There was so much lard and rancid fat and everything.
No.
All right. In April 2008, a 20-year-old Atlanta man barricades himself inside the men's room in a Waffle House, floods the bathroom, and goes on a rampage. When police get the door open, they find him naked holding the toilet paper dispenser. He had to be maced, then sedated to get him out.
Was he confused?
He was just really attracted to the toilet dispenser.
That thing is probably so dirty already.
It's like, yeah, I'm gonna make you my bitch, you dirty little bathroom paper dispenser.
I'm really germophobic in bathrooms where I like have my hands in my pockets trying to open the door with my foot.
That's right. The best thing about airport restrooms is there's no doors. They're all designed.
You don't have to touch anything.
You don't have to touch anything.
That's why I love those paper towel dispensers where you just wave your hand like a Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Those are awesome. But what about the people that put them in there? Their hands are filthy.
Some guy just took a dump, didn't wash his hands, and then put all the
the worst is whenever you go into one and somebody just took a gigantic dump.
I can't stand that. And when you go, like recently my daughter had a birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. Okay, why would an adult choose, I got to take a dump, I'm going to do it here at Chuck E. Cheese? And you go in the bathroom and you hear a dude going, just dropping a hellacious dump while he's there at Chuck E. Cheese. In the background.
He should have said, you know, you should have known that it'd be a hemorrhoid or something.
Who does number two work for?
Oh my Jesus. God! Why would, you know what it is? It's that greasy pepperoni. It hits you like shit through a goose.
You know, there was actually one time, it was years ago, I think it was my nephew's birthday, at Chuck E. Cheese, where I ate some pizza, and I was like,
oh,
what's,
no.
What's that
That's
sound?
The beginning of the end.
I was like, Heather, do you have any Imodiums? I have four. Give me all of them. I'm just,
yes! I need to dry myself out ASAP.
And I was like, I have to go home now. Right now. Why? Because I'm about to crap all over Chuck E. Cheese, okay? It's not going to be pretty.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby.
Hey, Jason, how you doing? I'll ruin the birthday party.
That's always the worst whenever it's you actually have to clean the bowl after you go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. No. No.
Yay! Shit!
Oh, okay. That's news for this week.
Oh, it went to a bad place there at the end.
Kiss my ass!
That's what I'm saying. On the toilet.
All right, let's do
DVDs.
Wait a second, that was weak. Steven, let's do DVD! Yeah! Yeah! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVD! DVD! DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition! DVDs! Yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Can you pull your legs back a little more?
No secret verses.
Yeah.
Released it yet.
Yeah, it's a secret verse for a reason. We can't tell what the secret is. No, there always was intended to be another line of the DVD song, but my timing's not good enough to pull it off. So maybe one day it will.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you, Sly. DVDs for Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Try to go through this quickly. I'm picking this one just because it has an awesome title. It sucks, but it's got an awesome title. Battle in Seattle.
Was it Grunge Bands?
No, it's a movie directed by Stuart Townsend, who's Charlize Theron's boy toy.
Yeah, he's an actor!
Yeah, it's about, I guess that shit. What was that bank conference that took place in Seattle a couple years ago, and all the hippies came out and started rioting and shit? It's got a pretty big cast to it.
What were they rioting about? Greed? Say no to greed, man.
Yeah.
Woo! Exactly.
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, man. That's supposed
All
to be
right,
a
next.
Bong sound. I don't have a bong drop, Steve.
Sit down, Bill.
Okay. Next DVD is Cadillac Records on DVD and Blu-ray.
The sequel to Empire Records.
Yes, exactly. Except this one goes back in time to the 50s and 60s, the Chicago music label that was kind of like what? The alternative to Motown.
Awesome.
Yeah, it has Adrian Brody and Jeffrey Wright and Cedric the Entertainer. Why doesn't he just use his real freaking name already? Yeah, stop it with this bullshit.
Cedric Washington, all right?
Yeah.
The third.
All right,
hey, what do you do for a living? I'm an entertainer.
I'm Cedric.
I'm sick of people asking me that. I'm just going to put it on my
Cedric.
Name.
I'm an entertainer.
Cedric the dishwasher.
All right. Disney is doing a family classics collection.
Steals.
But and the first is Escape to Witch Mountain.
Yes! I love those movies. I had a crush on the little girl in the old ones.
Huh?
I was a little kid.
He was young at the time. He was at her.
Not as an adult, as a kid.
Yeah, right.
He was even younger than her, probably, at the time.
Oh, definitely.
Did you give her cell phone number so you could talk to her about your motorcycle?
She was an older woman at the time. You know?
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Very, very wrong.
Sorry.
Next DVD is Happy Go Lucky.
You know, I tried to bring something personal to the show. I'm just keeping it all to myself now. I'm not
keeping it yourself from now on.
I'm just a big fan of hers, okay?
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
Yo!
Yo! Yo, man. He ain't no fan. He insane, yo.
Whack, yo. All right, so Happy Go Lucky. It's a Mike Lee film, or Lay, or how the hell do you, whatever. Directed and screenwritten film with this Sally Hawkins chick who plays this chick named Poppy, who is always really freaking happy.
Right?
I tried watching it this week. I had to turn it off halfway through. It was so annoying.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I just couldn't take it. I was just like, oh my god, this is painful. And it's just one of those movies that did not sit well with me. I'm sure there are fans of it, but not for me.
Maybe Andy will call in and defend it.
Yeah, exactly. Next DVD, probably your choice of DVD of the week, Howard the Duck Special Edition.
I saw that. This is finally coming out. Except now I'm a HD snob. Where's it on Blu-ray? When's it on Blu-ray, huh?
Nothing yet. Nothing yet. You would think it would be, but it's Universal, so they tend to drag their ass on the HD releases.
And you know what? I have watched it recently because it was on Hulu. You know, it still is on Hulu where you can watch it. And
still hold up?
No.
Terrible.
But
will you buy it still?
Yes. No, if it's on Blu-ray, I would buy that sucker in a minute. I would.
Yes, for its groundbreaking special effects.
Well, yeah, it's the same reason.
Just for sentimental value.
I remember, you know, at the end where, you know, Jeffrey Jones, he's the alien or whatever, and he's, like, shooting all these lasers or whatever. He's, like, shooting energy particles or whatever the hell he's doing. As a kid, I was like, man, that's awesome. I was just like that kid on YouTube. Oh, that's totally cool. It was awesome, Bill.
Okay, Pruane.
Yeah, Gang Bang Productions. Bad out, you know.
My choice of DVD of the week, on DVD and Blu-ray, Let the Right One In. The Tomas Alfredson.
I can't wait to watch this.
Vampire movie. Just kicks ass.
Now, is it a scary movie?
It's not really scary. It's shocking, but it's not scary.
Shocking and disturbing, but really good.
Yeah, it really. Yeah, that's perfect. That's it. And
oh,
it's on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm definitely going to pick up.
Sweet, it's on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
HD Blu-ray.
It's Magnolia, so of course it's going to.
Hell, it's on Magnolia. Okay. That means it's going to be on HD streaming on Netflix soon.
Probably.
I think they stream all their movies on there.
And it might start raining frogs.
Oh, no.
Looks like you're working out some issues there.
No, my dad. All right. My dad, I didn't tell you, my dad called me and goes, have you seen Magnolia? That's an incredible film. I sat through it, I watched it, and all this stuff. And, you know, it's got a great ending, all this. Please tell me you haven't seen it. Or I was like, no, I haven't seen it, but, you know, I know some things about it. He goes, what do you know about it? And, you know, I told him, you know, the scene that most people probably know. I don't want to spoil it. But once I told him the scene that I know of, even though I haven't seen it, he said that the film is ruined.
No.
And that he was pretty upset about it. So I don't know what to do.
It's not ruined.
So what I'm going to do is go to the dollhouse and get my mind wiped, then watch Magnolia.
Excellent. There you go.
Yeah, Zan found a use for
it. And then you could ask if you fell asleep.
Did I fall asleep? You jerk off hacker dude, whoever you are.
It's so irritating week after week. Did I fall asleep? Just a little while.
Yeah.
Shut the
Well, as a writer, you don't have to come up with new material. It's like, oh, where's that fall asleep page? Just insert that. We'll staple it in here using Gordon Ramsay's stapler here.
Who are we going to have say just a little while this week?
Oh, give me a fracking break.
All right, next DVD is Milk, the autobiography of a cow.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's all about
Elsie.
Yeah, it's all about Elsie, the Borden cow.
And how she did it, yes.
And how she fought against the oppression of, you know, people who didn't like cows running for government office.
Against the lactose intolerant.
That was homogenized.
Yeah. Those homogenized people. I agree with you, Elsie. What's sad? Not many people know this, but Elsie was assassinated.
She was assassinated by a brown cow.
It was a chocolate milk cow.
Yeah, it was a chocolate milk cow who just could not take the purity of the white milk.
It was a soy cow.
Yeah, it was a soy cow. I didn't know they made soy cows.
I figured the soy milk comes from somewhere. It's from a soy cow,
it
right?
It's from a cow. I think the soy cow and the rice cow teamed up and wanted to take out the whole milk cow. All right.
I can't believe how good this feels.
Next on DVD and Blu-ray, Pinocchio, the 70th anniversary edition.
I saw that. Pretty cool.
Good Lord.
I think I had this Pinocchio book, Disney book, with pictures. And I think I remember Pinocchio from that more than the actual movie.
I remember seeing the movie when I was really young and thinking it was cool because they swore in it. Like, I think it called he turned into a donkey and called him a jackass or something. It's like, whoa! He just said it.
Whoa! This stuff, man, it's pretty racy here. But it did have an old man raising a wooden boy.
Yeah, that was slightly disturbing.
Kind of shaky there.
Wanker.
Well, going back to last week, he was a pederast. He also was on stick cam. Or stick cam.
Yeah, Geppetto's on stick cam. Hey, I want the little boy.
A wooden man.
Is there a little boy out there for me? Preferably made of wood. It's like, God, this video cast is creepy.
What's with this Italian guy?
Geppetto's video cast.
All right, moving on. Rachel Getting Married. A movie that...
Well, she's off the market. What do I want to see that for?
I know. Jonathan Demme directed it. I watched it the other day. It was another one of those ones that was absolutely insufferable. It's one of those movies that he directs with, like, a prosumer camcorder. So everything just looks weird. You know, there's no real lighting. There's no framing of shots. It just looks so haphazard.
You know, I wonder this. Is that really artistic merit or is that laziness?
That's laziness, man.
We don't need lights. Just friggin' turn the camera on.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves, like this new thing of shooting movie with HD camcorders.
You know, honestly, if I ever do a movie, it'll be like that because it'll just be easy and I am lazy, you know? Steven, act! Edit? Act, Steven!
You want to edit
but
this? What?
It's one of these art movies. It's like, oh, okay, what's her name? Anne Hathaway plays a chick that just gets out of rehab and she has all kinds of family problems because she's drunk and her family's had to deal with it for
so
long.
Oh, she's an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, she's an extraterrestrial, and it's all around this big family get-together, and there's all kinds of pain and issues, and it's just like, oh, my God, now, get on with
is
the
Is Anne Hathaway
point.
Good in it, though? Playing
she
her?
Is good, but, I mean, it's just so fucking angsty. Like, oh, we're independent.
Oh, give me a fucking
you know,
break.
One of those really irritatingly in the indie movies.
Steven, you want to go see this?
Yes.
Instead of Watchmen?
Watchman.
All right, and continuing the Walt Disney Family Classics, Return from Witch Mountain.
Ooh, hey, is it the same girl in it I'm a big fan of?
I think it is, actually.
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
Yo.
I remember this one because it had Christopher Lee and Bette Davis in it, and they're both creepy old-looking
people. Yeah. And they don't they have a cat, too, or something? You know what? I remember watching this as a kid, but I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I'm...
Well, in my early 20s, when I drank a lot of brain cells died. And the Witch Mountain information went with it.
That's a great way to preface anything that you forget about. I drank a lot. And
in my 20s, I drank a lot.
In my early 20s, I was quite the alcoholic.
I was quite the drunk debonair, if you will.
Drunk debonair.
I can tell you a few stories if I could remember them.
Why did they get rid of dice? We would have had so many great drops. Damn it, Trump.
I know, it's terrible. Next DVD is Role Models on DVD and Blu-ray, and it's unrated edition. I've watched this week. I laughed, I smiled, and I enjoyed it.
This is the movie with McLovin, right?
Yeah, he's a LARPer.
Yeah. And it's got
But he belongs to this thing called Lair. It's live action role-playing something. I can't remember
the whole
thing.
Oh, it's worth seeing it just for that.
But one of his best buddies is that guy from Superbad that is like, hey, are you guys on MySpace?
Oh, awesome.
And he never falls out of character as like this King Arthur type guy. And I just laugh my ass off when Paul Rudd goes to this thing and they're all talking like they're from the Middle Ages. It's a really fun movie. And Sean William Scott does his best Stifler impression.
Looks like a poltergeist.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a very funny, enjoyable movie. It's not like, oh, ho, ho, laugh out loud, cry, you're laughing so hard. But
this is very amusing.
Yeah, it amused me.
You guys on MySpace, or?
I love that guy.
You guys know guy
next
DVD
is Schenectady, New York.
Hey,
the Charlie Kaufman movie
nice
with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I wanted to see this. It looked very
interesting. Or as Alan Arkin said during the Oscars, Seymour Philip Hoffman.
Seymour Philip Hoffman.
I don't know. Do you? I don't know. Do you? I think you do. Do you?
This movie looks interesting, and I think I like it, but maybe it might annoy me. I never know with the Charlie Kaufman stuff.
Yeah, he's a hit and miss type of guy.
Well, Steven, you're a big fan of Charlie Kaufman, right?
Well, I like.
Yo, he's not a fan. He's
Adaptation
insane.
Was good. I liked that.
You're not a fan. You're insane. Yo.
Yo. Yo, man.
Check it out, cuz. He's insane, yo.
I'm insane.
And I don't know if I mentioned
friend.
It or not, but that's also on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Hey, shit.
And last, Kleinman. Last. Transporter 3. On DVD and Blu-ray.
Hey, shit.
Whoa. Kleinman did not like Transporter 3.
You know what? I'm a glutton for punishment with these Transporter movies. They are terrible, but I cannot help but watch them.
He likes to drive cars good.
Yeah, he does drive cars good. There's always some hot chick in it. It's like...
Yeah, they always get these waif-looking chicks or whatever who's like got eye makeup, dark eye makeup or something.
Yeah, like that one chick that was in Transporter 2, she's kind of slutty-looking with the dark eye makeup. She was a waif, but there was still
she's
something hot about
her. Goth-looking, you know?
Yeah.
I never did see all the second one. I enjoyed the first one.
With the Asian chick and the... trafficking.
I thought it was weird that the gunshots had, like, tracers or something, like lasers following them or something. Like, they digitally put lines for the bullets or something.
So you could follow
What's funny
them.
Is there are actually rounds like that, but they're normally used at night.
Come snatch your check!
Nice.
Trace that's the ammo! For this week.
Oh, well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Probably just a phantom data stream.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal.
Phantom data stream, Steven.
Hey, shit.
Oh, that Kleinman. He really wants us all just
He's
to eat shit, doesn't
he? Foul-mouthed magician.
Not a very good magician either.
No, he's not. My favorite one is the one where he's on the buzzsaw table and it gets right into his crotch, and all you see is blood. And they drop the curtain. So disturbing.
I love that one you played, though, where he's like, up, now.
Up and down. Hey, asshole, you suck. Totally loses his concentration. Eat shit. I love that he immediately just, he knows, he assumes, you're a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
He automatically knows that. But also, the knife throwing one is good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So
there's one that involves a pistol. I won't spoil how that one ends.
Well, if there's anybody, if you don't have Grand Theft Auto 4, and you have no plans to play it ever, go to YouTube and look up, what would you look up? I forget what it's titled.
Perestroika or Kleinman or Cabaret.
Yeah, do GTA 4 Cabaret Act or even Kleinman or something like that. And then after that, look up Pruane to Ever, whatever it's called. I didn't really like Hell's Kitchen this week. That Lacey's a bitch. I love his reviews of Hell's Kitchen.
Where are his parents?
Gordon Ramsay shouldn't have totally gotten rid of his dignity like that wearing the sumo outfit. I was very disappointed in Gordon Ramsay.
That kid shouldn't have got rid of his dignity by making videos on YouTube.
I'm very lonely. Poor kid. But hey, he keeps on doing it.
Keeps on keeping on?
Yeah.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
What does that mean? Jesus.
Donnie Trump.
That was the best part, though. Donnie Trump. All right, everybody. That was episode 156 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening tonight on Now Live. Awesome. Did you like our cam there? Stream thing?
There's so much going on that cam.
But seriously,
I love
folks,
how they even removed the tab.
Yeah, you can't even click
it. Hole.
The tab's gone. We can't watch Fred not watching Friday the 13th anymore.
Yeah, he said Predator was on tonight. So
boo. We couldn't watch Predator while doing the show? That's actually probably a good thing because it'll just distract us. Nice.
Well, I kind of watched Battlestar Galactica with the captions on during the show.
I had Dollhouse on in the background. It was awesome.
Yo!
This week, Echo, she's a safe cracker, Bill.
Oh. Does she hook up with Billy Bob Thornton and a black midget?
What?
Bad Santa.
Is there a safe cracker in that?
He is a safe cracker.
Oh, damn. Sorry.
Oh, it's a funny movie. I recommend it.
That fell flat. Shit.
I love that movie.
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
I thought so.
Yo!
Bill. You're insane, Bill. He's no fan.
I'm insane in the membrane, yo.
But isn't a fan technically a fanatic, so you are insane?
Yeah.
So, you know, circle that on yourself, Echo, and whatever.
Well, they're going to update her, dictionary.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, give me a frackin' break.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening tonight. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you'll find links to Mulberry Old School. And you'll find links to Mulberry After the Show. I saw some people are going back and listening to those. Go ahead and do it. It's awesome. You can hear about the time we got reviewed by another podcast and we were really annoyed and we pretty much went off on them. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It shows how much class we have.
Such assholes.
It's like if Gene Shalit reviewed us, then we were like, hey, let's do a show telling Gene Shalit where he can show it.
Yeah. I think they called us malarkey at some point.
Yeah, they're full of malarkey.
Those 2 hours and 41 long minute shows are too long.
Yeah, our shows are way too long, by the way. But if you'd like to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, drop us an email. Also call 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail like the amazing Rolston.
Hello, this is Rolston.
Oh, no.
I'm calling for Mulberry Bill.
That's a little creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
He should be the amazing Rolston. I am the amazing
Rolston. That would be less creepy.
I'm calling for Mulberry Bill.
He should be, I'm the amazing Rolston, and I am reading your mind. What does that mean? I don't know.
So, I think he might be from NAMBLA.
Well, he's he's a huge fan of you, though, Bill.
Great. It's just what I need is a huge fan.
He's insane.
Bill. Guy's no fan of you. He's insane. Jeez. Scary.
What? You're kidding.
No.
I love whenever Alicia or Liza, whatever, Dushku's wigger comes out. Because she talks like that in real life. It's
yes.
Like, yo!
Eliza Dushku.
What's happening?
Elizabeth Dushku.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the Mormon inflection is Eliza.
Yes, Mormon Dushku.
The Mormon. Last week, Steve, you were like, did you know she's a Mormon? I was like, I did know that. Crazy, man. Have you noticed she never drinks soft drinks on Dollhouse? Notice that.
No.
No caffeine. No tobacco.
It's like, come on, Joss Whedon. Who's, no, give
she
her a bottle of water.
She also that black people are fallen angels.
Well, there was that episode where she was being chased by the dude with the bow and arrow. She picked up a rock and looked through the hole through it. And that's how she found her way to safety.
Yep, it was the seeing stone.
Awesome. And she had her magic underwear and a bullet bounced off of it, Steven.
She
is
did.
Awesome. Now, I promise, next week we will talk about Watchmen.
Yes, we
Watchmen.
Will.
Because we love that their Watchmen movie. Let's go ahead and hear Gene Shalit again. And does he say Watchmen? Let's check it out.
Superheroes and supernumeraries ricochet through comic book time and place. Will they land an audience? Brooks' passionate disciples will surely pack theaters early, but mainstream America will pack it in.
Let's go!
Watchmen, the movie, is fabricated malarkey.
Okay, first of all, douchebag. Okay, wait. Just remove the review the freaking film. Do I care about if you think the audiences will pack theaters? I thought you were reviewing the film. Now you're giving us a commentary.
Exactly.
Like, we do that shit on our show, but we're not reviewers.
He's reviewing America's sensibility.
Yeah. America is not ready for this superhero malarkey.
This Watchman thing.
This Watchman. By the way, I wrote this copy while on the shitter.
He thought it was called Walkman for a long time, and he kept wondering where the portable cassette players were.
The inventor of the portable cassette player...
Courtesy flush.
Watchman. But I was sitting there this morning eating my Pop-Tart. Man.
It's all about the invention of Swatch watches.
You know, is it? It's cute, like, if somebody does a caricature of you, you know? You know, it's like, oh, thanks, you know, I'm at Six Flags, I'm going to get this shitty caricature done.
Yeah.
We used to frame them all the time, like, I'm going to get my caricature framed. And it's like, no, dude, just throw it away or stick it in your closet. You're not going to hang this shit on
your
wall.
Closet.
But
hide it.
But
everyone.
Gene Shalit is so proud of his little caricature with his bushy mustache that he has it hanging on his wall, like during
big
his segment.
Bushy beard.
Your big bushy beard. Good Lord.
Kiss my ass. That's what I'm saying.
I love Gordon Ramsay says, do you have anything to say back to me? No. And then when he's off camera with the other camera crew, he's like, kiss my ass, and pulling his pants down. Do that in front of Gordon Ramsay just so we can get some entertainment, you know? Drop your, oh, and see your ass in the kitchen. Someone's sanitary.
Flat ass.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Now stop it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show this week, and we'll see you next week. What do you say? Did we win you over? Huh? Gonna keep checking us out?
You gonna listen to us like Watchman?
Yeah, recommend us to your friends, though, by the way. You know, it's like, these guys, they're just off the chain, yo. I'm a huge fan of Nowhere in Mulberry, okay?
Yo, he's not a fan. He's insane.
Oh, my
yo.
God.
Yo!
What? You're kidding.
Oh, bye! Yeah, later!
All this on Sci-Fi Sunday night!
Thank you.
give me a frackin' break.
Now this is podcasting.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
Watchmen, the movie, is malarkey.
Hey, shit.